Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it. Welcome to episode 134 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesey, and discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. This time, we actually have a rotating panel of guests, as Julian Lytle joins us for the first half, and then we're joined by Daryl for the second, as we discuss San Diego Comic-Con news and Amazing Spider-Man. Was it a good reboot, or was it drech? I really like the word drech. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levesey, and welcome to episode 134 of Comic Timing. And Mr. Brent Cassina, I will introduce him first, because I never introduce him first when we have guests on, so I'm just going to buck the trend. What up, Brent?
I'm just a rotating panel of guests today.
Oh.
That's all I am.
Oh. What, Mr. Co-host? You know, I don't give you enough love in the intro.
No. I guess I should go on some other podcasts and call myself Brent Comic Timing Cassina.
You're welcome to.
I'm gonna find some place that'll take me.
It's a shared brand, man.
Seriously. Maybe I can get on the Daily Rubio since it's brand new and need some listeners.
I thought you were Brent BK's Bullets Cassina. Oh wait, never mind. Times go by. Hey. Speaking of men with many monikers, Mr. Julian Lytle joins us. Julian, what's up?
Nothing much. Just being real cool, real icy, freezing the internet.
Ooh, you better be doing that, man. It's like freaking 85 out.
That's right. I gotta keep everybody icy,
ice cold. Like that guy outside of the Baltimore Convention Center who sells the water. Got that ice cold water, and it's only $1. Get to experience that guy next week. Good times. Just screams at his megaphone for the entire convention outside. It's the best. It's one of the best parts about the con, man. It gives it that unique feel.
Wait, which con? Which con was that?
Otakon, man. You would fit right in at Otakon.
Oh yeah, that is popping up. I've never been to that show.
That would totally be right up your alley. I mean, get all those anime nerds to buy your shit.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yeah.
One day I'll go.
Come on, man.
Talk about One Piece.
And as usual, this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. They've got deals out the wazoo this month. We've got Marvel Now issues like Point One number one, Uncanny Avengers number one, A plus X number one. You can get it from anywhere from 50% to 75% off on the site. 50% off all new DC trades and hardcovers this month as well, which is just about as good as the prices on Amazon. So you will be saving a bundle if you're a trades and hardcover type of person. Cyber Force number one is 100% off this month. Yeah, that's right. It's free. You will get a free copy. You can get up to two copies, actually, if you so desire, of Cyberforce number one in your shipment. There's a Valiant bundle, only $7.98 this month for Exo Man of War number six, Harbinger number five, Bloodshot number four, and Archer and Armstrong number three. And all of DC's New 52 Wave 3 are 50% off. Talon number 1, Phantom Stranger number 1, Schwad and Schwashoe number 1, and Team 7 number 1. And a whole bunch of other deals that you will be able to find at DCBS. And you should go ahead and find them, because you will find a significant amount of savings. I guarantee it. And use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service. They're wonderful people, and we thank them for sponsoring Comic Timing, and you should buy all of your comics there and save a bunch of money. Please, okay? There you go. And best of all, they have a DCBS digital storefront with Comixology. If you buy anything via this digital storefront for Comixology, you can then get discounts on whatever books you purchase directly from DCBS. As long as you put in the amount that you spent, you will then get savings back on your order. Discount Comic Book Service, dcbservice.com. Go ahead and check them out. And you know what? Before I'm done here, real quick, be sure to order from Action Lab Entertainment, Double Jumpers number 3, 30% off for $2.79. Continue buying Double Jumpers and supporting Dave DeWanch, who is a really cool dude. DCBService.com. Check it out. So yeah, let's start things off with the most recent thing, as this episode will more than likely come out in the same week, as I'm going to have Brent do the editing on the Hello Old episode, and I'll do this on my day off on Wednesday, so we should have
he
this
promises.
Out. I promise, yeah.
He's been promising me that old episode that it was underway years ago, and then now he told me today that he's going to give it to me, and if it sounds fresh.
Yeah. No, dude, totally. It's still completely fresh as we talk about the Avengers, but let's talk about things a little bit more fresh. Like, first off, obviously the thing on everyone's mind out of Comic-Con is that both Gene Simmons and Shaq have comic book lines now. Like, that is the biggest news to come out of Comic-Con. I'm thrilled to hear that. Crickets.
Yeah, I don't even... Yeah. How the hell a Shaq got a goddamn comic book line coming out, man? That's... Like, what? Shaq can get comics coming out? All these people trying to get on and Shaq going...
Well, come on, see, man. He'll come out with a Shazam comic, but it'll be his Shazam.
You know what? I might like his shit better than I like whatever the hell they're doing in Action Comics.
What, this from the guy who's going to Morrison Con?
Yeah, you know, right? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to Morrison Con.
Uh-oh. And you hating Action Comics?
Yo, that shit ain't Captain Marvel. It ain't Shazam.
You're talking about Justice League, buddy.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it said Action Comics.
Yeah, you're getting your wires crossed here. Yeah, Action Comics bad. is your boy Morrison. Justice League
okay.
is Jeff Johns.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I was dismayed. I was wrong. Justice League is just so bad, it messes me up when I get to, right. By the time I get to the Shazam part, maybe we're seeing Dr. Savannah looking like Dr. Dead or something from 1992 WWF. Sparkly eyes, that got threw me off.
The only thing that really throws me about that book is how Billy is just like the most unlikable kid you could possibly ever meet. I mean, I understand that he's been bouncing from foster home to foster home to foster home, but he's just too... I mean, I hate to say the word emo, but that's what he comes off as to me. He's like, no, nobody... I don't need anybody. Nobody likes me. I'm going to go in my room and cut myself.
He's a douchebag. He's not even just emo. He's like, literally, he's like a mean.
Yeah.
He's a bully.
But look at it this way. I think it's interesting what he's doing, because he could make the journey of Shazam into turning Billy from a douchebag into a likable person. And that's a lot more interesting to read than the same ho-hum shit they've had the last 70 years or whatever. That character's been around and no one's given a shit.
Okay.
People have given a shit. That's why he exists in 70 goddamn years.
Not enough to sustain any sort of series.
I don't. Who cares about a series? I could watch him on cartoons. He's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, he's awesome on Young Justice.
He was awesome in Batman Babe for the Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome in everything I see him in.
Yeah.
It's not the character's fault that some suck-ass writers can't write him.
Even in Justice League Unlimited, he was damn good. With frickin' Jerry O'Connell as his voice actor, it didn't suck.
That was a good voice acting job. It don't even make sense how he becomes Scott. That's the reason. He's a good-ass kid. So mm-hmm. It's like, yo, you get to be a superhero. Mom.
Yeah.
None of this home would be, I talk to tigers. I go push rich dudes down. You know, I don't care. You know, he acts like the way people think Jason Todd did in the 80s. He's just a douchebag kid.
Mm. Hey. But Jason Todd can pull off that Winter Robin gear better than anybody.
Oh, I love Jason Todd as a kid. If I could have voted him to be alive, he would have never died. That shit cost 75 cents in 1987 money.
That's $2.25 like, today?
Yeah, that's like a comic book from 2004.
Well, since we're deviating already, I'll start things off nice and small, and then we can work our way up. I'll just ask general consensus of the crowd. Brent, what was your the biggest news coming out of Comic-Con for you this year, 2012?
Honestly, I feel like the same thing as last year. There was no news coming out of Comic-Con this year.
Really?
Everything had already been pre-announced. Nothing new was really discovered. You know, everything was pretty much known. I felt like the only new stuff that was coming out was, like, maybe the movie footage and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, you know, there's no breaking news from DC other than Sandman. I mean, Whoopi, we knew that was going to happen again. Marvel is still the same old shit. I mean, we could go into their Marvel Now announcement a week before Comic-Con, and then they don't talk about it at all or detail the line or anything when it's the biggest – you get the most coverage from all the news sites and shit like that, and then they don't talk about it or go into any plans at all, whereas like DC a year ago was talking up their new 52 a lot because they had just announced it and they were, you know, talking about the approaches the books would come like that. And I think Marvel knows their shit stinks because it's just a poorly timed thing, and yeah, I think they're going to lose a lot of momentum by stretching this out over 5 long months, probably because they don't have the whole thing planned yet.
That I actually don't agree with the whole not having it planned yet, because I feel that Marvel might actually have this better plan than DC, considering all the last-minute changes that happened at DC Comics. The thing that you usually get out of Marvel that you don't get out of DC is that once Marvel puts out a solicitation, that solicitation is what you get in the comic. That rarely happens these days at DC. Like, there'll be a small change here or there. Like for instance, like in the solicitation for New Avengers, like a few months back, Mockingbird was on the cover, and that became Spider Woman. But whatever, that doesn't mean anything. That's a freaking cover to a comic. Like, you've had entire issues change from solicitation to when it comes out over at DC. You've had entire concepts for books change from solicitation to when it comes out. You've had creators change from solicitation to when it comes out over at DC. I don't think you're going to get that out of Marvel with this relaunch, or at least this reboot in one way or another, because I feel that they are actually taking their time to ensure that that does not happen.
I don't know. I'm just not excited about it at all. I feel like it's a power move on Marvel's part just to try to reclaim some of the market share they lost to DC doing a hell of a job of rebooting their comics, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that is probably one of the reasons that they're doing it, because when one does something successful, the other one follows. That's the way it's happened for years, and that's the way it's going to happen. One time it's DC saying, oh, I'll do this, and Marvel does it. The next time Marvel does something, and then all of a sudden DC's doing it. That's the way things go in the business. It's monkey see, monkey do. Julian, you know what? We'll talk about this a little bit since it is being brought up now. What's your take on the whole Marvel Now relaunch?
Yeah, I don't really care. I saw it. I'm like, good. You know what? It's going to sell. I'm different from Brett. I just don't. I think it's going to sell. I have no one to read it.
I'm not saying it's not going to sell. I'm just saying there's no excitement over it.
I don't know. I think
before, and they're not giving away any details.
Yeah, but I think when it happens, and when Avengers versus X-Men ends, mm-hmm. which is basically going to be the setup for all of it, there's going to be a lot of excitement. A lot of people that want to buy those books are going to buy those books.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like I think Cyclops is going to die or something, and then they already teased with like the old original five X-Men are coming back, and like they got Avengers, and there's like Rogue is on on Uncanny Avengers or Wolverine and Havoc, and it's just a bunch of silliness. And basically, I think that they, because now a year later, a lot of the energy that was in the new 52 was gone.
Right.
Because it's like some of the people like me that was excited at the concept of relaunching the series, of rebooting the universe, they lost me in like 2-3 months
yep.
for the most part, because they ain't really. They half stepped. Hell, they third stepped. It was just like, I ain't like nothing what they was doing. I didn't like most of the teams. I ain't like most of the direction. So they could have got me, but they didn't. So there's a lot of people like me that might even try a Marvel Now book. I might try one, depending on who draws it. And it just, I don't know. It just seems now the New 52 is boring because it won't even be new anymore. It's been like a year. There's a zero issue. They make dumb comments like, oh, Tim Drake was never Robin. Yeah, the other books he was Robin or something like.
Yeah, Teen Titans, same thing. Like, oh, this is the first Teen Titans team, and then they're making references to the Teen Titans all over the place with Dick Grayson and stuff like that.
Yeah, so like they don't even got their shit together.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's what I'm trying to make my point of, Brent, is that I always feel like Marvel with their with their creator retreats and stuff like that, get their act together a little bit more than DC when they do these relaunches. DC might have some good books come out. I mean, cause I'm certainly not saying that they don't. It's just I feel it's a little bit more cohesive with Marvel by sticking it to about four or five creators and they're all working together, as opposed to at DC where they get like, you know, 9 or 10 creators, give them the loosest thing they can possibly give about the universe, and then each one is contradicting the next.
I don't know. The thing that with the Marvel relaunch is the fact that it makes me less excited about it is the fact that they're going to stretch it out over 5 months. Mm-hmm. So they can claim, you know, 5 months of sales domination on the right. charts or whatever,
right.
and claim that as a victory of the Marvel relaunch when it really, it's only 4 books launching in a month. So, of course, those are going to be the things that go.
I'll agree. I'll agree with you on
whereas
that.
Whereas Aquaman beat all of Marvel for, I don't know, how many months going on?
Yeah.
You know, and you could argue that that's not because Aquaman's a cool character, but the team they put on it, but that... think that's going to be what's going to make him a cool character.
Yeah. That and the was returnable. Don't forget the
okay,
books were
okay.
That's true.
But Marvel the other thing turn, so. The other thing that doesn't get me excited about Marvel is that it's not, you know, it feels like it's rather than just calling it the Heroic Age 2 or whatever they want to call it, it's just a, you know, they're now relaunching more things than ever. And basically all they're doing is they're reshuffling their creators, whereas I felt like DC had a little bit of opportunities for newer creators, for older creators to come back out of the woodwork, to get some fresh faces on books and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I know Jamal lost the book, but he had a great Ray miniseries, and there were some other people on the DC books that I'm really enjoying. I'm really enjoying Iguera on Blue Beetle. I'm really enjoying him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really enjoying the Teen Titans book. Scott Lobdell has not been on my radar at all because I wasn't a reader in the 90s, and I'm enjoying his books now because they did give him a chance to come back, you know. And some people can argue that it's, you know, favoritism from the guys, you know, that's the editor-in-chief, Bob Harris and stuff, but really you haven't really seen anything from him as far as, like, in the press or the media or anything. It's still Jim Lee and Dan DiDio that seem to be out there and Jeff Johns. Right. So.
But you know Scott Lobdell would not have come back without Bob Harris. I mean, come on.
Okay, fine. But I'm enjoying his books. He's putting on a good show.
I'm not. Go
ahead. The thing I don't like with Marvel is that they're just, you know, they're taking Bendis and putting him on a different set of books. They're taking Hickman from Fantastic Four and putting him on Avengers now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I don't like is that they're not coalescing their line of books. I know Batman has a ton of books and stuff like that, but I felt like a lot of the ones went away. You know, everything went away to make room for whatever their new one was going to be. Where here, they're throwing in a new Uncanny Avengers. They're going to relaunch New Avengers written by Hickman. Oh, and a new Bi-Weekly Avengers written by Hickman, when really all they could do is make one Avengers book. You know, Secret Avengers is not going away. It's still going to be here, even though Uncanny Avengers is going to sell more and Secret Avengers is going to die out because it's not selling. I mean, it seems like a lot of unnecessary titles and unnecessary stories being told with unnecessarily unfresh creators to me.
Is it any more unnecessary than all the Green Lantern books?
I'm not arguing that DC doesn't have its share of books that are unnecessary. I think Red Lanterns could die out a quick death. You know, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just arguing that DC did away with a lot of stuff and then decided this is what they're going to do, mm-hmm. whereas it feels like Marvel is going to, you know, see how things play out once we launch all these new books and then decide what stuff they're going to do away with or keep.
Okay, see, now...
But they are getting rid of the deadweight books. It's just making books based off the...
What books are they getting rid of?
They're getting rid of Uncanny X-Men, for one. They're getting rid of X-Men Legacy, which no one gave a shit about. They're getting rid of at least as of now, they're getting rid of New Mutants, which again is one of those books that no one really cared about. So that's good riddance to that. They're getting rid of, for now, even though I guarantee you that they're going to be relaunched with Avengers in their names, Iron Man, Cap, and Thor, which you know are going to come back.
Yeah, they can't.
They've already announced that those are coming back though. Those are just coming back as relaunches, Iron Man and Cap. It's just pretty much been communicated that Iron Man, Cap, and Thor are coming out with new number ones, which they all did in the past 4 years, which is what I don't understand. I mean, people are like, well, Iron Man's got 520 on it. Yeah, but it came out with Invincible Iron Man when the second Iron Man movie came out.
First Iron Man.
Whatever it
First
was.
First Iron Man,
and
dude.
Thor came out last year with the Thor movie. Cap came out last year with mm-hmm. the Cap movie.
Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers they relaunched for God knows why. I mean, it just it doesn't. I don't. Well,
the Uncanny X-Men relaunch makes no sense at all now. That I will definitely agree with you with, because you relaunch a book and then you get rid of it 10 issues later. That's kind of silly.
I don't grasp their marketing strategy. It feels like, you know, we're gonna reshuffle the creators and stuff like that. That make it exciting and hype it up a lot. But we're not going to decide on what stuff we need to illuminate until we find out the sales. Well, we can't, you know, well, we only have X amount of dollars to spend. Okay, well, let's, you know, stretch this out for 5 months so we can, you know, stretch out the hype and the stories and, you know, all this and blah, blah, blah. Where I think is, you know, a lot of the DC stuff, like the best stuff, like the Flash book, no one thought Manipul and Buscaletto would write the shit out of that book, which they're doing. In my opinion, other people may not like it, but I think they're doing a great job. And they DC took a risk on talent, and at least from the stuff that they've announced so far, DC's not or Marvel's not taking any risks on talent.
They don't have to. They don't have to right now. Bendis is finishing a 10-year run on the Avengers, so let somebody new in, and that's what they're doing. They're going with Jonathan Hickman, a guy who has been writing some of the best stuff in Marvel over the past couple of years. In my opinion, yes, I'm well aware, but
that Fantastic Four is good as shit.
I love Fantastic Four, and I adore FF. S.H.I.E.L.D. is a damn good book when it comes out. Yes, I'm aware that it hasn't come out very recently. I was a fan of Secret Warriors when it was around. Yes, again, I'm aware that that one took a while, but it did come to a conclusion that I actually enjoyed. So there's that. We've got Rick Remender, who's I'm finally reading Uncanny X-Force, and that's really starting good to kick book. In for me. Secret Avengers, I'm enjoying a lot. I'm enjoying a lot. This is me right here. That's all I'm saying. Bendis, I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do on the X-Men, because he's never really done X-Men before. So it could suck. It could very easily suck. But I'm willing to give him a shot because he's Bendis and he completely revitalized the Avengers. There would not be an Avengers movie right now if not for Brian Michael Bendis. That's why they have faith in their creators over at Marvel. Ed Brubaker is going to decide. He's going to go do his indie stuff. I hope that turns out well for him. I think he's still going to be doing Winter Soldier, so that's good because there'll be a Captain America Winter Soldier movie soon enough. So there's that. We've got, let's see, who am I forgetting here? Matt Fraction. Come on, Matt Fraction. Enough said. Wherever the hell he winds up, he's gonna wind up doing something good, because Invincible Iron Man has been one of my favorite titles since the first Iron Man came out.
Mine too. It's the only one that's come out every month with the same damn artist.
Yeah, I know. And him and LaRocca are gonna go do something else. And it's actually, from what I hear, my mistake. Sorry, Kieran Gillen I've been hearing multiple things, but I think Kieran Gillen is going to take over Iron Man, and then I think LaRocca and Fraction are going to go do a different book together.
So that was Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four is what they've been talking about, yeah. But they just need to reshuffle the deck at Marvel, and that's what they're doing. There's no reason for them right now to be going anywhere else, because it seems to be working pretty damn well for them so far. That's all I'm saying. I do agree about the whole stretching it out in the 5 months thing. However, I don't think it's stretching out the story over 5 months, because it's not like they're doing one issue, then one issue, then one issue, then one issue. They're five new titles premiering over a five-month period. There'll still be other books coming out.
It's not five new titles. It's a title a week over five fucking months. You missed that part. It's a new title a week for
it's 25 titles.
25, okay, 25 titles. Okay. And they're getting rid of shit. So what exactly is the problem here? That's mainly what I'm saying. They're getting rid of stuff and they're replacing it with new stuff.
I'm just saying, for the people that advertise
there were 52 new titles at DC. They're doing 25.
I know. Huge risk. Yeah. The people that advertise themselves being the best of the best and being ahead of the curve,
right.
It smells completely reactionary.
I'm sure it does.
Whereas I think the more risky thing to do would have been to do the same thing that they had been doing and keep on trucking and say, we're not going to buy into that bullshit and just create better books.
Okay.
I'm not arguing that after AVX, you should not take the opportunity to launch new stuff.
Right.
Marvel's always done that. I recognize that's their business pattern and stuff like that. I'm not arguing that that's wrong or that's, you know, something like this. I'm saying the Marvel Now initiative, to me, smells completely reactionary and behind the curve for the guys who claim to be ahead of it.
I will yet again agree with you on that, okay? I'm not denying that. The only thing that I'm saying is that I think in the end, the story is probably going to be a shitload more cohesive over at Marvel than DC's has been. That's really all I'm saying here, okay? Because you're using your core writers to put together a story, and they're bringing the Avengers and the X-Men closer together right when they need it, really. You know, like this is sort of what AVX has been leading to, is that it's been leading to, I guess, sort of a universe that's a little bit closer to what it was in, I guess you could sort of say the 80s, where both teams communicate with each other and they actually interact, as opposed to the X-Men being off in their corner of the universe and Avengers being off in their corner of the universe, which for the most part has been the case, other than Wolverine, who's fucking everywhere. You know, now we'll actually have teams that intermingle a little bit and we'll have actual communication in the universe, which will be nice to see. But this is all speculation on our part because we haven't seen the damn titles yet, so we'll see. But yes, I am not at all disagreeing with you, Brent, on the fact that this is reactionary. I just feel like in the end we might get better story out of it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, if you're going to get better story out of stuff that's already existed for 60 years and you find a way to retcon it, everybody's making a big fucking stink about Tim Drake as not being Robin, or, you know, he was still working with Batman. Is that not the important thing that counts?
Yeah, no.
It's inconsistent because you
can't. Of course, there's going to be inconsistencies over 52 different books.
No. They're called editors,
It's called editors. It's like Scott Snyder's like, yo, Tim Drake was Robin, and old boy writing freaking Teen Titans is like, no, he wasn't Robin. That's inconsistency.
Where did they say that he's Robin?
They said that shit in the first issue of Batman. That's the only one I read.
They did. I remember it very well.
It's the only issue I read because that's the only one I fucking even gave a shot to. And then the other guy said, oh, Tim Drake was never Robin. Yo, get your writers in the room, sit down and be an editor and hammer that shit out so it makes some fucking sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and like even going through the James Robinson panel, like, and moving this back to Comic-Con a little bit, it was very interesting reading the transcript of the James Robinson panel at Comic-Con, where he talked about how Earth 2 had three unique rewrites, because originally the New 52 was just going to be a reboot as opposed to a relaunch. Like, it was just going to be, these are a bunch of issue ones, let's go with that. So this was going to be a Justice Society book based in the 1940s off of the previous continuity, because there was just going to be that continuity. There wasn't going to be anything different. And then the editor said to him, actually, we're starting everything over, so maybe we can turn this into a book, an Earth 2 sort of thing. Like, okay, fine, let's do that. And they decided, okay, Earth 2 is going to be based in the 1960s. That it's going to start off there, and this will be the heroes beginning in the 1960s, and then we roll from there, maybe eventually get to now. But for the most part, it'll be a world that's existing in the 1960s while our world is happening now. And then they decided, nah, you know what, fuck that. They're all today. So let's have a third concept out. And then they went and did a third concept and came up with Earth 2. This was all over like a four-month period that James Robinson had to keep rewriting his scripts. That's what DC was doing leading up to the New 52. That's why there were so many inconsistencies, and that's why you want to talk about rush jobs. In a lot of ways, that was what was happening over at DC, because, you know, I mean, Brent, you know as well as I do that there were creators that were told they had titles at DC, and then when the books were announced, they were shocked to find that they didn't. So there was a whole bunch of different things going on over at DC leading up to that relaunch that I'm hoping will not wind up happening here at Marvel, because you've got fewer straws stirring the drink, as it were. Agree? Disagree?
I mean, whatever. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
All right, man. That's it.
I don't understand the big stink about, you know, for the Robin thing. It just came up within the past 2 days. I don't understand the fucking big stink about it. Yes, okay. Yeah, just downloaded Batman number one. You're right. In a caption, they called him former Robin, current Red Robin. All right. Big fucking deal. He still works with Batman. Who cares what he called himself or what costume he wore? If the writer of the character wants to change it, yeah, then fine. Okay?
Yeah.
Fine.
He's not
whatever.
The only writer of the character.
Why are we making...
That's the problem, though, Brent.
Who cares?
That's all we're trying to say is that editors should be editors.
I'm not arguing with that statement. I'm just arguing that people are making a big shit out of things that don't stink that much.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the Stephanie Brown shit that's going on in Smallville? You want to talk about you know, big stinks or whatever that they announced it?
Honestly, I could care less.
They had an interview all about it, and now all of a sudden, nah, it's Barbara. Whatever.
You know, bully for them for being probably somebody that's going to come in the next Batman cartoon. And they don't want to get readers confused. I thought that's the whole reason why we had Barbara back as Batgirl in the comics and, you know, Flash back as Barry Allen in the comics, because they wanted to get their iconic brands as shit together.
If
Smallville was still on television and they wanted to do that, it would have been Barbara. It would not have been Stephanie.
Bart Allen was the Flash on that show.
He never had an actual name.
Yeah.
He never had an actual name.
Really?
He had Jay Garrick, he had Bart Allen, and he had Wally West.
He was all of them, and none of them. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
He was just the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't decide on the actual identity.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. My bad on that, cuz
no, it's not a big thing. I think you have a right. Even when they decide to reboot the New 52 with Barbara Gordon and make her Batgirl again.
Yeah.
Like, all my friends got mad. It's like, oh, she was better as Oracle or this. But I was like, yo, when I turn on my Saturday morning cartoons, guess who Batgirl is? It's Barbara Gordon. Mm-hmm. You go look at the old TV show, it's Barbara Gordon. It's the reason why they always go back to, like, Robin's Dick Grayson.
Right.
It's everything from the 60s show.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to keep going back to Batgirl's Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made, like, Is the character in Smallville going to be Batgirl or Robin anyway?
It was going to be Nightwing.
Okay. I have a feeling they're probably going to change it to Batgirl, too. I just have a feeling they're going to do that.
It's very possible.
In the Batman cartoon, they freaking put Batgirl in first because Robin was on. They couldn't use Robin at the time. So it's like, hey, we're just going to make Batgirl his first sidekick,
right,
or whatever.
Right. Well,
that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, let's also bring up that that this new Batman animated that's coming out is going to have Katana as the sidekick, which just complicates things even further. It's like, if I'm cool if you want to go Batgirl all the way. It's just
we'll see their reasons. I have a total trust in the Warner Bros. Animation when they decide to make a show with DC characters, because mm-hmm. I think they actually think things out way more than I ever read in a comic book in the last 2 years, 3, 4 years, or 5 years. I don't think they've messed up at all, actually. Every time I watch a cartoon, it was consistent with the character.
Right.
Like, the history of the character, it works.
All right.
Hey, let's get an Asian identity out there for people. Don't. Get that out there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Raf Suhu will be absolutely thrilled. Get some more Asians up in here. I'm going to bring Daryl in, as Daryl is now available, and we'll probably steer things a little bit further into the Comic-Con conversation here, since we went off on our rant about DC versus Marvel here, which was not expected. Daryl Taylor joins us now. Daryl, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's up?
So what's up, man, Mr. Muppet Killer?
I kill them all.
Goddamn shame. You don't like nothing to make people happy.
Damn it, I'll take your happiness away. I will gut a Muppet in a minute.
Goddamn shame. One day I'm gonna send a Muppet Ninja to go fuck up your house.
Oh, I'm prepared for them.
Always a horrible human being, Daryl Taylor. Always,
I try
always.
My best,
yeah. So we've been having arguments and barely talking Comic-Con until you got on. So I'm gonna let you steer the ship here. What was your favorite news coming out of Comic-Con, man?
You know what? It wasn't even a lot of talk that really made me, you know, jump for joy or anything. It's just like I'm a Greg Rucka fan, so I was cool with the Punisher Warzone five-parter. So I was cool with that. I was cool with the Iron Man stuff. You know, we getting Extremis. I was looking forward to that. What else I was looking forward to? Judge Dredd. The people got good buzz off of that.
A whole lot less. You'll betray the law. In this movie, right. which should be good.
Exactly. We got some good talk with that. Superman, I haven't seen any footage yet, so but I haven't heard hate when they showed footage from it yet.
I heard it was much more shaky cam than people expected. Like it was much more, I guess, like on the street cameras than originally anticipated. Not that that's a bad thing, but
there was a lot of that. Like a lot, it looked like a lot of people were unprepared. There was a lot of movies and stuff that had the shaky cam footage. And you'd be surprised. Like, Long Ranger looks like it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
It looks like it's still a mess. It's like from the posters to the footage that they showed to the panel. It just looks like it's going to be a freaking train wreck.
Brent, has your opinion changed at all on the Superman movie? Because, I mean, I know you were sort of apprehensive at one point.
I haven't seen a lick of it, so I can't say anything until I see something from it.
Okay. All right. Did you at least see the teaser poster?
I saw the teaser poster, but it's the same as the image they had in front of him in the bank vault.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it's interesting to note that they didn't actually base, like, they didn't really have coordination between New 52 costume and the costume they chose, and yet it looks pretty damn similar either way.
Yeah,
I think they looked at because films work so far ahead, they had access to what they were doing in the movie and decided to make the New 52 costume looks similar.
Right.
It's like they have to work like this, because this is a 3 or 4 year long process to make this movie. They kind of made New 52 up out of like the spur of their pants. Let's reboot everything. You can't work like that in a movie. $100 million involved. You get shot. You sleep with the fishes playing the stuff out of the blue like that. Messing with Hollywood.
The game, too, I think, more with the Injustice, because you see the Wonder Woman has the original design.
That game was
how they switched it. Yeah, when they switched it over.
Games were some of the things that's I think like wowed me the most coming out of Comic-Con. Actually, it was that like I wasn't expecting an R-rated Deadpool game. Like that shit looks good.
Haven't seen that yet.
There's a trailer out. It's not in-game footage or anything, but it's at least like a lead up to it. And it's going to be a completely M-rated Deadpool game with him talking to himself like he does in the comics and everything. Like the like they show his multiple word bubbles up on the screen and everything. And it looks like it's just going to be a straight up Deadpool action fighter game.
Who's making it?
I think the same guys who make most of the Marvel games. I just found the CCIR the Comic Book Resources article actually. So let me take a look. I forget, Brent. What systems do you have currently?
360.
360. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I mean, are you interested at all in a Deadpool game? Or
I'm interested if it's as fun to play as the Wolverine Origin. As one was.
Yeah.
I love the hell out of that M-rated game.
Yeah. That was a game till that damn ending. It was so hard.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah, I didn't play that.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm taking a look here. High Moon Studios. High Moon Studios is doing Deadpool.
What did they do before?
They sound familiar, so I'm gonna do a trusty Google search here, and Wikipedia, and they have done the Transformers games before this: War for Cybertron, Dark of the Moon, and Fall of Cybertron. And
That last Transformers game was icy as fuck.
Yeah. I didn't get to play it yet, but it looks crazy.
The new joint got Grimlock, and he transformed. Looks so tough. I can't wait till that joint come out. Oh, and they make a Hitmonkey. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. And Hitmonkey as a game. Like, if we
no,
stay...
they're
we
not
stay...
making a Hitmonkey game. It's the Deadpool game.
Oh, it is?
The Hitmonkey was a BS thing until they announced the Deadpool.
Oh.
Okay.
It's not a Hitmonkey game. That is the Deadpool game.
Gotcha.
Like, comic was a BS comic. So.
Okay.
They could make a great game, dude. It's a monkey that kills people.
Like, I would, it could, though. I mean, I would rather play the game than read the comic.
Who's to say Deadpool couldn't be a monkey underneath all that?
That should be a little bonus.
Spider-Man could be black under his suit. Deadpool could be a monkey.
They could always download. That could be a download.
It's true. It's true. I mean, they have like every Spider-Man costume under the sun for the Amazing Spider-Man video game. So
mm-hmm. It don't even need to be. He could just be a DLC game like that Harley's Revenge shit or whatever in the Arkham game.
There you go.
Now, is that Spider-Man game any good?
I've heard it's actually. Yeah, I haven't gotten it. No.
I have it on my queue because I do GameFly. I don't buy shit no more. Okay. I just do GameFly and play it, and I'm waiting for it to come. But it's kind of like zombie. The story is kind of like the lizards. The people get infected with the gas. They become like lizard zombies or whatever. So if you don't like zombies, you're not gonna like it.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, you erased all hope for me ever playing that game. Man.
I've heard it's similar in gameplay style to the Spider-Man 2 game.
Which I liked.
Yeah, so it's much more open world than some of the other games, which is kind of cool. But I haven't played it, so I can't really comment. Then again, I'm like forever behind on every single game I own. So,
for me, the best Spider-Man game was the one with the different Spider-Man through time or the different realities. Yeah. That was the best Spider-Man game they ever made.
Kind of liked it, but I didn't like. You know what? I would have rather had a choice because I didn't like how you had to play certain versions to get through to the other part of the games.
See, I love that.
See I would have. I want a choice because I don't want to play noir Spider-Man. I don't want to hide in the shadows.
Like that was
I
rather, hype, though. That was hot though.
I wanted to play the future Spider-Man more than anything else.
Hey.
Yeah, but they made a game basically just around the regular Spider-Man, future Spider-Man. It wasn't that good.
Yeah,
I don't know how they fucked that up.
But they did. Because the story was fucked up. The story just didn't. It just didn't.
Wasn't the story written by Peter David too?
Yeah, and they tried to pull an anti-venom. I was like, don't put anti-venom.
Yeah, but it became repetitive. Parts of it became repetitive. It just wasn't fun anymore.
Oh, that's like, sad.
Like the future stuff. I know he's in the future, but I don't need to see flying cars every effing scene. Like you can. You don't have to go so futuristic that means it's laser beams and stuff coming all the time. Like it's just boring after a while.
Is anybody interested in this free to play Marvel MMO that's being done by the same guys who did? Did I see this right? Like the same guys who did Diablo, I believe.
I'm interested in that.
If it plays like Diablo,
I'll check it out.
So I'm more interested to play Diablo than the regular MMOs like Warcraft or DCU, where there's 6 million icons on your screen and your character's only 2 inches big and all that other shit. That looks really boring.
Yeah.
If it plays like Diablo, then it just plays like Ultimate Alliance.
I love that.
I want to get into it and start fighting. I don't want to take 15 minutes just to set up how I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
I don't want something like that.
And Bendis is scripting the online game, by the way. So they're going all out on this.
So what, are we going to sit at a table for about 20 minutes?
And yeah. Then maybe have some pasta.
What about the Kinect game that's coming out?
Does
anybody see that?
There's a Kinect game coming out?
There's a separate Marvel Kinect game where they're basically co-opting the Secret Invasion storyline.
Oh, God.
Really?
And it's a fighting game. It's basically set up as a fighting game, but you have moves or arm movements or like almost like when you're playing just or dance or what's the Kinect dance game where you have to Dance Central where your body the Kinect sensor recognizes your body in a specific pose and then that character does its move kind of thing.
That's too much work.
I think it looks like fun. It might be fun for a little while. I don't think you'll be able to beat it in a day. You'll get tired, though.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking my back to play that game.
You're messing up, man. Capcom already made the perfect way to have comic book people fight. People who try to reinvent the wheel, and then it falls apart.
I don't know. The DC game looks kind of good. I mean, it is by the Mortal Kombat guys. And
I played the last one, and it was ass.
Yeah.
What?
I only want to see them play. Yes.
No, get out. Get out.
I played it myself and I enjoyed it. So
I liked it.
The only question I had was like, I'd get the Mortal Kombat characters out of there. I just want to play with the DC characters for a
minute. That's all I did on the DC game versus Mortal Kombat, and I liked it.
And now they're going ahead and they're making an entire DC game.
What was ass about it? It played terribly.
In what way?
It was a terrible fighting game.
In what way?
It had terrible balance. Mm-hmm. None of the combos really worked well. Sorry, I'm a fighting game enthusiast. Like I play fighting games. That shit was a bad fighting game. Well, I couldn't even play it for 3 days. I let my friend beat it, and I sent that shit back to GameFly ASAP.
I mean, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has ultimates out the wazoo. So, I mean, neither one of them is 100% A-OK, you know.
Versus Capcom 3 plays what you expect for a versus game. Put it like this. In terms of fighting games, no one plays fucking Mortal Kombat versus DC. Because first, it's just ass. It's just an ass fighting game. There's no competition.
Okay, but I played it to play as the DC characters, and I did that, and then I sent it back to Blockbuster because I rented it. That's as much interest as I had in it, and I think a casual fan would like it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, casual.
So it wasn't ass.
Well, ass didn't sell. It didn't fucking sell.
Well, it did well enough for them to make a DC fighting game, period.
Arkham Asylum did well, and Arkham City did well, so they made another fucking game.
Let's have Daryl say what he wants to say. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying that it inspired enough people. Like, they had enough complaints that people really wanted the DC. They wanted to play those DC characters, but have it just be a DC game. That was a lot of talk about that. And when people couldn't get, like, there were people that just wanted the Mortal Kombat characters and didn't care because they don't read comics and didn't care about the DC characters. And you had the other side that weren't happy, and that game suffered because of it. And then for the people that are the casual, like we are, it was like, okay, it's all right for a minute, but for the people that are into the game, they do all the combos, they'll do all the finishing moves like you, Julian. It wasn't enough. They didn't work it out enough for you.
It's badly constructed.
Whatever. It's the same engine as the Mortal Kombat game.
No, it's not. Actually, the new Mortal Kombat game is actually a very good fighting game. But
the old Mortal Kombat game, whatever, Redemption, Vengeance, whatever the fuck you wanted to call it. Five.
Yeah, some of those weren't good.
Yeah, no, some of them weren't good, but considering that the last Mortal Kombat game, the actual just straight up last Mortal Kombat game, not the Mortal Kombat DC one, was incredibly good. I played it, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
This game looks like it's going to be following those game mechanics a hell of a lot closer, and I like the roster so far. I mean, it's
Jimmy Palmiotti writing it. I like the games that he writes.
Right.
I like how they, how the story progresses when he does it.
Right, and they introduced both Nightwing and Cyborg this past weekend as playable characters.
Which looks cooler Cyborg than I've seen in the comic.
Yeah.
Like, that's true, I'll give you that, even though I think they both look ugly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a collar that big on Cyborg in the comics. I mean, you'd be able to use that as a weapon in the game, which would be kind of cool, but
he turned it into a freaking gun. He turned into Megatron for a split second.
Yeah. And
I don't understand why does Superman have armor on and why does the Flash have armor on?
Because
that's the first thing I saw. Like, why does the Flash have armor on?
That's New 52. That's New 52.
He has like plate armor in the game. Like,
yeah,
the Flash has like armor. Like, in the New 52, he has seams and shit. Like, it made sense. Like, it comes out of the ring in pieces. He anime puts it on like a Power Ranger or some shit. Like, I'll give him that. But in the game, he's like walking around like freaking like a Lannister or some shit. Like, fucking armor and shit. It's just, I don't get it.
Superman, it looks closer to the comic version.
Superman, I can give it. Like, okay, he has armor on. He kind of has armor in the comic book.
Flash, they took a license choice.
They did. Yeah,
that was different. They just made a choice, and maybe you can change it up if you download something, or you can get the original.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can, man. Yeah,
$5.
Well, you wait until they're all out, and then you buy them as a bundle, and it's cheaper
right.
That way.
Nightwing, look, I had no complaints about how Nightwing looked. Nightwing looked great to me.
Yeah, no, and I'll say this right now, Brent, Daryl, Julian, all of you, Nightwing in blue is better than Nightwing in red. I'm sorry.
The symbol was fucked up, though.
It was, a little bit, yeah.
I don't like the symbol.
Yeah, but I in blue, though, I'm happy, man.
I don't get... even with Arkham Asylum, I just love the design of Nightwing, period. So, to get to see him, do those moves, Yeah. I'm in. I'm all in.
Did they announce Green Lantern? I forget.
Yeah.
No, but I'm sure he'll be in there.
I thought they did.
Okay.
It's no way he's not going to be in it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Okay.
So is he going to be Hal or the black
you
guy,
know
John
they're
Stewart?
Pushing Hal? They're not pushing any other Green Lantern.
Maybe
like
be the
that.
New guy with the gun.
Yeah, the Muslim one?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
All right. Well, let's change gears over to animation because DC really didn't have any news on animation, so I'll skip over
did
that.
Did you see that Batman of Shanghai shit?
I did, yes.
That shit is amazing.
That did
Batman
look pretty awesome.
And Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? I don't even think I caught that.
They're DC Nation shorts, so they're the ones that that air in between, Young Justice and Green Lantern. They aired a Catwoman one that looked pretty awesome. And now
are they airing new ones during the reruns of the actual show?
They are, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah,
I've only been recording new episodes.
Yes,
so
same
I
here. Yep.
Sword of Adam is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They just
I
like
loved
the whole,
it.
It's like the whole thing, but it's like it's shorts.
Yeah.
But I totally forgot about it because it's stupid
Dude,
to do that. Nobody watches repeats.
Yeah. No,
too
I
much
I,
shit going on.
I completely
that's
agree.
Kids watch repeats.
Yeah. Well, okay. Kids watch repeats. Sure. Yeah. But you
they
know,
just watch the block.
Right. But kids would watch repeats of the same shorts over and over again too.
Guys, you got to remember, Cartoon Network main focus is children.
Oh, of
it's
course.
Not us grown folks.
Yeah,
you can really give a fuck
about kids. I told you, I'd fuck the kids. I said, fuck the kids. Do it for me.
Well, yeah, and they don't care about you, yo. Finn and Jake, say, do it for the kids.
Ah, dude,
do it for the kids. Yes. For the 40-year-old. Do it for me.
I'll admit it, 100%, 125%. Adventure Time is the shit.
I
love Adventure Time, man. I have been addicted to that show for the past like 2 months now. It is amazing. I am completely.
I hear more adults talk about that damn cartoon than I see kids. It's starting to make me think. What the hell,
man? Oh. Every time I meet a kid, I be like, "Yo, what's up with Adventure Time?" They get all crazy, be like, "Yeah, they be getting all wild out."
Well, you know what it is, kids.
And then
kids
you invite them into your van.
Get in the van.
Finn and Jake are inside.
I'm sorry, Brent. I'm old, so all my friends have children.
Well, all right. Here's the thing, though. Like, kids love it because it's crazy, and that's awesome. Adults love it because there's actually some really good continuity in this show, man.
Is it like Ren and Stimpy type of comedy where it's like hidden jokes?
No, okay. No.
It's way funnier than Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah,
it's not crass. It's like smart humor.
Yeah.
It's like comics, but movie.
It's actually closer in humor to something like, say, an Animaniacs.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
You see, you're playing like that, then I get what you're coming from. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the continuity that goes through it, like, you're surprised at some of the continuity. Like, you would think, oh, they're just, you know, one-and-done episodes, but they call back to things on a regular basis. Like, if a character goes away and suddenly they're back, they'll explain why the hell they're back all of a sudden.
Mm.
So that's what's pretty cool about the show.
If they throw it on some Netflix, maybe I'll catch it that way.
So talk about continuity here. How about the announcement that Avengers Assemble is going to, quote-unquote, be a continuation of Avengers Earth.
Bullshit.
Heroes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait. The one they canceled, the one now, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
In Jeff Loeb's words, it's not canceled. The regular run of a show is 52 episodes, and therefore we decided to continue it and change up the art style and call it a completely different name by Avengers Assemble. What the fuck?
Huh? You mean like Benton Omniverse? Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's BS. After the internet cried out BS when they heard about it.
But didn't they do that with Batman?
The internet cried about bullshit. They don't understand the fucking animation business. So I could really give a fuck about the internet crying out.
Okay, the Batman animated series. If you want to talk about the original three seasons versus the fourth one, they changed up the art style, but the same people were still in charge of the show.
But they did cancel the thing. They canceled
the show and they brought it back.
Right, and it just had a different look.
Right. That's not what's happening here.
Well,
but it happens in other cartoons.
Yeah. No. That definitely does happen in other cartoons. I'm completely not disavowing that. This is exactly what Loeb said, and you can hear the backtracking in his quote. Okay. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room. Loeb said, "I know a lot of you are big fans of Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes," alluding to to internet rumors. "A lot of things on the internet are not true," Loeb said. "Earth's Mightiest Heroes was always going to be 52 episodes in animation industry standard order. When the show concluded itself, we had an issue on our hands. What to do next?" Loeb compared the transition to what's seen with a new creative team in comics. He finally announced the long-rumored Marvel's Avengers Assembled, which continues the previous continuity, and showed a brief animation test. And he then said that it follows the show as a spiritual successor.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
When does it start?
It starts a year from now.
All right. So okay, it takes 9 months to make an episode. Yep. So basically, if they say they couldn't come off this all the just because the internet just found out about this shit like a month and a half ago.
No, we're saying that's bullshit. They've had
it takes two years to make 26 episodes.
Would you let me finish?
Let Brent finish.
Oh
first.
My God.
Go ahead.
We've seen the art for – it's not long rumored. We saw promo images and stuff like that's been leaked. It's not really long rumored. They've just been denying that the fact that they're canceling Mighty Avengers and launching Avengers Assembles. Call a spade a spade. If they want to say they're transitioning from one to the other to kind of placate people to make them think something else, that's fine. But that's not the issue here. The issue was that it's owned by a different – Avengers Assembles owned by a different company than Avengers Assemble or Earth's Mightiest Heroes is. Mm-hmm. That's what the transition is happening. You're getting different voice actors for the characters and stuff like that. I'm sure.
Well, they want it
to make it more in line with the shitty Spider-Man cartoon.
No. That's not the case though. That's where I'm gonna say no to you because this is not going to be a kid's
show. Tell me that Thor's not gonna have the same costume that he does in like Ultimate Spider-Man
costume,
and everything's gonna
costume
gel.
Is very possible, but they've already said that it's not in the same continuity.
But wait, wait.
Then
what
the
costume
point?
Does he have in Ultimate Spider-Man?
It changes. He has a new one in JMS, and then he came back in the Skrull Invasion in the last episode, and now he has the JMS rather than the one he had last season in Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah. No, dude.
Yeah. They transitioned that. Now, yeah. So what's the? I don't get the complaining. Like I don't like the cartoons take too long to make.
The complaining that he's making, Julian, is based on the original assumption that the reason that they were replacing Earth's Mightiest Heroes with Avengers Assemble is because they wanted it to be in the same universe as Ultimate Spider-Man. What I'm saying is that all things are pointing towards now that Avengers Assemble is actually going to be more of an adult show without any of the stupid cartoony shit that Ultimate Spider-Man has.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying is like, all right, I know like people would like to brag on Jeff Lowe, but in terms of what he's been saying about the cartoon, it sounds like standard business practices for making a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like, yo, it takes too long for them to just change things. That means the cartoon wouldn't come on to like 2016.
Okay, but they've known for a while that, you know, that the Avengers or Earth's Mightiest Heroes, God, I hate these titles, was going to end. They've known that for a while if it was going to only last 50 episodes. Yeah. Rather than continue to say, okay, this is a quality cartoon, let's continue it, they made the decision, you know, probably before, honestly, obviously before the Avengers movie opened up, but when they're still getting all that buzz to transition to something a little more closely. Right. I think the biggest issue people have with it is Earth's Mightiest Heroes is a quality cartoon. The first season's on Netflix. Go ahead and watch it. The first 5 episodes are slow, but once you get past that, it is fantastic. And this season, they've been doing Secret Invasion. It's been fantastic. We don't understand the whole point in canceling a show that's doing well, that's performing well, that's quality show that kids and adults enjoy.
That has better ratings than Ultimate Spider-Man.
And I think the biggest fear is that with this transition to make everything like Avengers, and if you watch Ultimate Spider-Man, it sure feels like it exists in the Avengers movie universe because everybody there looks the same as they do in the films and then this Avengers Assemble cartoon. And I think is our fear after we thought we were going to get a cool new hip Spider-Man cartoon written by Bendis and the guys that did Ben 10, and then we get this shitty kiddie Spider-Man cartoon – I think we were all a little disappointed, and I think the fear is that this Avengers Assembles could be more akin to the Superhero Squad show than the quality cartoon they have on television now.
And actually, the word is not kiddie, it's childish.
Whatever you want to call it.
Well, I would say with Marvel, it was the business, and I would, if I was Marvel, I would want my animation all under me. I wouldn't, like, even though...
Not even Marvel, Disney.
Well, Disney, even though it's successful, you want your stuff under you. You don't want to have but to...
They can't buy out Earth's Mightiest Heroes, though?
But it's easier, probably. It's probably easier and makes more business sense to just, let's just do another one. These cartoons ran the whatever amount of episodes. And Julian's right, cartoons don't last that long.
52 episodes is like the standard rule.
And then let's just take that, cut it off, and then let's move it on to the movies, connect it to the movies. I don't think it's going to be as kiddie-ish as Ultimate Spider-Man.
Because they have seen that not even kids like the show. So that's...
But the movie, I think when they look at that movie, and they look at that ultimate version of those characters and how well people like them on screen, I think they'll connect more with that than they would making it be like a Spider-Man, like an Ultimate Spider-Man thing type of thing.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I mean, like, it looks like the team is going to be, for the most part, the Avengers. Get it more in a personality of the Avengers movie, and throw in a black guy because they need one. So Falcon will be on it.
Falcon, I just don't get. I don't get that.
Well, you heard Falcon's supposed to be a captain too. Captain America too.
He is. Yeah.
So are they going to make, because the ultimate version of the Falcon, I love. Like, I wish that they could. I wish that there's a way to erase the comic version, the 616 version of Falcon, and implant take out the pimp one and implant the scientific military one, and I would like it better. Like, Falcon just never clicked with me the way he's done in the comics, the 616 version. So I'm all for the military one.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, they'll probably use some of that stuff, but yeah.
They'll blend the best of both worlds.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they will. Well, let's talk about, again, because we've been giving Marvel most of the say here. We will talk about the movie announcements very, very soon, but I want to talk about real quick the Sandman announcement that, as Brent said, was sort of expected. And yet, I was absolutely completely surprised by this, because this was something that was supposed to happen 5 years ago. Originally...
I wasn't saying that it was expected. It's one of those legendary things, and it's kind of a trope for a reunion or an anniversary thing to happen. So when they announced it, I wasn't like, oh my God, a Sandman announcement. I would be like that if they said, Alan Moore's coming back to do Watchmen as a big F you to all the before Watchmen people. That would be a genuine fucking surprise.
Right, but Neil Gaiman, who's still on positive terms, that's not that big a surprise. That I'll agree with you with.
Yeah. I think the biggest surprise at a Comic-Con, and for Marvel in general, just to swing back to them for one quick second, is that they still haven't done anything with Marvel, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another year.
It's still a mess. It's still a mess.
It is. Yeah, they're still afraid with that franchise. And afraid is the right word, because they're afraid.
They got those rights.
Yeah.
No.
They have the rights, but they don't at the exact same time, because they're still in legal limbo on a whole bunch of the Neil Gaiman and McFarlane shit and everything.
Nobody wants to read that early stuff. No, I'm sorry. Nobody really wants to read that early pre-Moore and Gaiman Marvel fan stuff. Nobody's reading that.
It's golden age, but it's not even good golden age. So that's the problem.
Nobody's reading that.
But has everybody here read Red Sandman?
No.
I've read some of it. I've put on the black mascara and I've sat in the room. And I read some of it and it never clicked with me. Okay. I just never...
Not your thing.
But I knew whole thing with Gaiman is he's like, all right, you're going to fucking pay me. Like, I don't mind doing the stories, and he said it. Like, he's, every time he does the rounds with libraries, and he still gets begged and paid a lot of money to do, to go to different libraries all across the country.
Yep.
His whole thing is, I don't mind doing it, but you better pay me.
Yeah.
And that's it. So they must have agreed upon a price.
Yeah. Well, that, and they agreed that on... on a whole bunch of the reprint terms that I that they were still sort of in limbo about 5 years ago. Because again, this Return to Sandman was initially supposed to happen for the 20th anniversary. They were supposed to print a brand new Absolute editions of all the Sandman, you know, brand new Absolute. So like these were supposed to be like almost omnibus editions. And they also were supposed to have new stories, and that didn't gel together. Now they've come to terms, and he'll be doing it with J.H. Williams on art, which I think is probably going to get me to read all the Sandman that I haven't read, just so I can read read some more J.H. Williams art, because hot damn, man.
So Batwoman is done? I mean, I wonder if they're going to end Batwoman then.
That's a good question.
I think he'll stay on as writer, they'll just give it to a permanent artist.
Probably.
Yeah, I guess so.
More than likely,
I guess. Amy Reeder had her fill.
Yeah, I'm not into Sandman, and it's never been my thing, but working for the library as long as I have, it's something that has clicked with audiences. Like, it moved from, you know, grown, you know, older people that have started reading it when they were, you know, when they were younger, to kids now who are adults, you know, growing up, and they got into Sandman, too. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense that they'd want to do that.
Yeah. Well, Then there's news out of Comic-Con that, like, sometimes I think I really shouldn't look at some of the news, because, like, I saw the Invincible news and I'm like, damn it, I'm reading this in Ultimate Collections. I'm still like a year behind, so
that's why I stayed away from the Walking Dead panel. I've only read the compendium.
Yeah, because like when I read the, I mean, I'm not even going to mention what they said in the panel and what the teaser was. It's just I accidentally read it. And I'm like, okay, something's going on here that I don't know, because somebody is going to die in the comic. That much is guaranteed. But for the anniversary of Invincible, it looks like they're going to do some major changes one way or another, even more so than replacing Invincible with somebody else, which would be, you know, I guess Miles Morales style. You know?
Is Invincible black now?
He was for a while.
Was it the same character, and he got like a deep tan, or a different character?
No, it was a different character. It was Bulletproof, actually.
Yeah, he was just filling in. He was just filling in the suit because they
had doing like a Jean Paul Valley type shit,
pretty much.
But not even that. They had a business. Remember him and Eve had a. They had a business where they would help people.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in and help people, and they still had those contracts. So to honor them. And, you know, even though Invincible was supposedly almost might be kind of could be dead, but not. They just basically had him put the suit on and then fast, you know, super speed go in, help people and then get out.
Right. Yeah, because so as long as they saw a blur that looked like Invincible, they were happy.
Right. Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah. Then he saw that. Then the black guy saw that white woman and white kryptonite, and he tried to make a pass at her because, you know, all black people, we can't be in the same room with a white woman and not want to date them. So that's what happened.
I've never seen that in any Black Panther story.
Well, you know.
Well, Storm does have white hair. Does that count?
I guess it's close enough.
All right.
That's a marriage that's doomed to fail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So here's the thing, okay? When do I get online for the Lobo rumor, the Lobo movie starring The Rock?
Never.
Aww.
If the Guardians movie does okay, then I'll say the Lobo movie. But I'm saying that Guardians movie, it looks really risky.
What is the Guardians movie? I don't actually know what you're talking about.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, all right. I get you. Well, all right. It looks risky. So yeah, we're transitioning here. So let's talk about it. They officially confirmed Guardians of the Galaxy as a movie. They officially confirmed Ant-Man as a movie, and they confirmed the subtitles for Cap and Thor, Cap being Winter Soldier.
Yawn.
What are you yawning about?
I don't know. It's just yawn.
Why?
Why? Why, dude? I've been looking forward to this shit.
You like the first one?
I liked the first one. I was hoping that we wouldn't get straight adaptations of, like, comic stories. I mean, they're doing that in the animation. They're doing it all over the place. I thought the movie universe was going to be, you know, influenced but yet separate and come up with new things and new ideas. Like, look, like Iron Man 3 looks to be extremist and Mandarin, but probably is going to be not close to anything we've ever read. Whereas Cap, the Winter Soldier, pretty much sounds like a straight up adaptation of Brubaker shit.
Can Ian Levenstein raise his hand, please, and address the class? just because the subtitle is Winter Soldier doesn't mean you're going to get a straight up adaptation of
all right,
the movie.
But I'm saying that everybody's going to be comparing it to the.
Who's everybody? Who the fuck is everybody, dude?
Everybody
three
in
quarters,
the,
no,
the
No. I'm ranting here for a minute, okay? Because this is the most ridiculous thing I've heard you say tonight, Brent. So I'm going to rant for a minute, okay? Do you know how small the comic book community is in comparison to everybody who has seen this fucking movie? So don't tell me everybody, okay? Because a whole shitload of people that go to see this movie are going to have no idea who the fuck this person is. If the story is good, that's all I want, okay? If it follows the comic book a little bit, then you know what? Whoop-dee shit. If it's a good movie, then I ain't going to care. That's it.
Did you think the way they wrote Bucky?
No, I liked Bucky.
So why? I mean, they didn't put him on a rocket. They didn't have him fall off a rocket exploding. I mean, they did something different.
Yeah.
Even though he's supposed
I'm not arguing that Winter Soldier is the best thing to happen to Captain America in the last 25 years of him being around in comics. I'm not saying that that's not true. I'm just saying it's predictable. Again, going with the thing that Marvel's supposed to be doing everything different, and we're on the cutting edge, we're the house of ideas.
Has their movies ever not been predictable if you read a certain number
of comic
books?
Come on, man. Sure. Seriously. Iron Man. Oh, he puts on – like, the entire first Iron Man movie was the Iron Man origin.
It sure was.
It was like
the origin movie.
Yeah,
and
you
knew the bad guy way before – you knew he was bad when it first started. Like, there was no secret – that Stane was the bad guy.
Yeah.
He basically said on the phone, you are fucked. Like, when he was on the Jeep, he basically was on the phone going, oh, Tony, you're fucked. Goodbye. And then he was surprised when he came back. Like, everybody knew that. But you still liked it.
Right.
You still liked it.
And plus, like, I don't see where you're saying even that Marvel said that they're, you know, quote unquote, supposed to be different. Yeah, you know how they're different? They make their movies good. That's how they're different.
Connect them together.
don't get me started.
Because I'd rather they mess it. I mean, I had a look like, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know how they're going to do a talking tree. A raccoon. But I look at it and I go, but really, when you look at it, no one thought Iron Man was going to be good.
Right.
Before, when it was originally announced and who was on it was announced. It wasn't supposed to be good. It was supposed to be terrible.
Yep.
I knew it was going to be good. Everybody, Robert Downey Jr. saying.
No, Julian.
I was excited when RDJ was announced. I was like, fuck yeah.
I was excited about RDJ too. Why the fuck are we calling him RDJ? I was excited when Downey Jr. was announced. But before then, I was very trepidatious about the movie in general because you know, going into it. Same thing with Cap. You know, I mean, sure, he did Rocketeer, and that was great, but he also did a shitload of stinkers after that.
What was the fandom at the time of Cap? Oh, we're going to see the first Marvel failure. That was the thought process. That was the little things on the blogs and the whole thing, you know, in the comic community. Mm-hmm. This movie was not going to tank. It was not going to do well.
Yeah. They thought
it worked.
A whole bunch of people thought that about Thor, too.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. It's a movie about Norse gods.
So make a failure first, and then I'll, you know, like, you have to, like, let them make a failure first.
I mean, all the white power people thought it was going to fail because they put one black guy in it.
Sure did.
Wait, never mind.
Sure did.
Look, all I'm saying, man, is that I don't think it's a misstep, and that's it. I mean, I don't even know if that's what you're saying either.
I don't think that's what I was saying. I think what I was saying was it doesn't get me excited for the sequel.
Okay.
Because I know what's coming. Okay, it doesn't get me excited for the sequel because I know what's coming. Now, let me go back and say I was excited for the other Marvel movies, but they're origin stories, so I automatically knew what's coming. But I was excited to see them on film for the first time.
Right.
But you didn't think that Bucky wasn't going to come back after he fell off the side of a cliff that's
dark? Sure, I did. I just didn't think that they were going to go, like, straight to the Winter Soldier, maybe save it for a third film. I think it would be more interesting then, and you have a whole second film of Cap getting used to the real world. he had only a tinge of that in the Avengers movie, and I think it would.
Yeah, but
second movie could be built off of that, facing a new.
Look how they're writing
a new villain that's for today's world, and Cap going, "This is like nothing I've ever fought before in the 40s. This guy's totally deranged." And then you bring it full circle with his past coming back to haunt him in the third film. But I think that would make.
But you're thinking
trilogy.
Of three movies. Like, this is not three movies.
Aren't they
this...
always thinking of three movies?
Not I mean, always.
No,
they had
not.
Spider-Man.
No,
they had
I'm
the teaser.
Is...
And they're, as soon as it does well, oh, we're this is a trilogy.
Yeah.
We're,
when has Marvel said that? When has Marvel said that about
what
these movies?
Is, what I'm saying
when
is...
When they signed them for nine movie contracts and five movie contracts, I...
Yeah, but Brent, this is not... Like, Captain America happened, and then he went through his Avengers story. Like, he did the... This is shit I've never seen before already in Avengers. That's what they're thinking of. Like, they're thinking, if you went to see Cap, you saw Thor. If you saw Thor, you saw Iron Man. Everybody saw Avengers. So now we're going to something else. Like, you already know what happened to him. He was all bewildered in Avengers, and he kind of found his place by the end of the movie... He kind of found his place there. So now you get to see his progression to in Cap 2 to whatever they're going to do with him then. Like, but they're thinking that you already saw these previous movies, so why do the two-step? You already saw that.
Yeah. I've already read these previous comic books, so why should I go see it? It's...
You don't. You don't go see it.
Yeah, you
like,
don't.
Nobody's forced you to go see it. And also, Marvel.
You're going to see it anyway. That's the thing.
I'm just saying as a point of argument. I'm not
I love you,
through.
Man, but you're going to see it and you're going to fucking love it.
Marvel's working on phases. They call it blatantly phase one, phase two. They're not working in trilogies. They're working in like five to six movie blocks.
Yeah.
And then the third movie is going to be Captain America Reborn. He's going to go You're going to say, I hate it. I hate that title. I don't want to see that.
The third movie is going to be an entire movie with the Skrull Captain America.
I just think that they could have just titled it Cap 2, Iron Man 2, Electric Thor Book. 2, kept it the same in line with Iron Man 1 and 2, 3, 4, whatever they're going to make of it.
the only thing that I would have liked instead was if the subtitle for Thor 2 was like Thor 2 Wacky Times on the Rainbow Bridge. That would have made me happy. That would have been great.
Mystery Bridge.
Yeah. Just turn it into like a Scooby-Doo Mysteries thing, man. That would just be fantastic. Fantastic. Who do you think Ant-Man's going to be? Cuz Edgar Wright said that it was somebody who attended Comic-Con. And of course, immediately the internet's minds went to Nathan Fillion, but I'd rather not. I just don't really
feel like
that. You
know, they're so desperate to put that man in something that they put him in every time they mention a superhero, they say he's going to be in it.
Captain America, oh, Nathan Fillion. Thor, Nathan Fillion. But Thor is Spawn.
Green Lantern, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Green Lantern. Actually, that would have been better, but...
That man making TV money. He is not going to work out and get a six-pack again.
Yeah. Nah, but he making TV money on ABC, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Disney, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Double that money up. Watch, he can be in that. We can do both.
He can do both. I don't think he would do Ant-Man.
I think he might.
I think he might to work with Joss. Because, I mean, him and Joss are like, you know, butt buddies. So they.
I heard that the Ant-Man movie is supposed to be about Scott Lang anyway.
It's going to be Scott Lang and Hank Pym.
And Hank Pym, so he can be Hank Pym and not have to have a six-pack.
I'm okay with that.
Because if Scott Lang is the one getting nitty-gritty, punching people in the face.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't. He can. I don't know.
See, the only thing that I wish is that if it's a shame that Zachary Levi is replacing a role in Thor 2, because I would have actually cast him as Scott Lang.
He'd be dope, Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be. My man, Chuck.
I feel he has the personality to pull that off, but again, he's going to be in Thor 2, so at least he'll be involved with the Marvel movie in one way or another.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we've been talking about this shit for too long now. Any other things you want to bring up about Comic-Con, whether it be Image, whether it be Dark Horse? I mean, I know Hellboy's coming back, or at least in one way or another, so that's kind of cool. Anything else you guys want to bring up?
I got two things.
The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Digital Love and Rockets made me excited. I can buy it now digitally. I can read my Love and Rockets.
Nice. Nice.
And Django Unchained got a comic book.
Yeah, I heard
Quentin
about
Tarantino
that.
Busts up in the room.
cutting everybody off like Kanye, say, I'm making my movie into a comic book, I'm a beast, and just walk the fuck out.
That's writing it?
Yeah, they just taking the script to turn it into a comic book.
Okay, all right, cool.
So, yeah.
Nobody else
could write his... Yeah, they should just follow his shit anyways. Just... He probably could write a good comic book. He'd probably outbend his business.
Actually, yeah. No. You said that wrong. He would out Ellis.
I can over dialogue you forever. Like, I can see them just like no one would leave a room. They would just. I could see them having a challenge, and they would just 20 issues of just people in the room. They just never leave.
I want to see Inglourious Basterds 2 as a comic.
Oh my god,
that would be amazing.
Talk and feet shots. That's all you see.
Yo, wouldn't it be amazing if Vertigo just became a imprint that just makes random movie adaptations?
You mean Wildstorm?
Yeah, that's what happened. Wildstorm.
It was. Yeah, that was Wildstorm for a minute.
Well, that's like
Dynamite.
Well, I love like when I go to do my DCBS order every month. You look under Other. And you can tell that it's all the leftover Wildstorm properties that were licensed movie adaptations or video game adaptations that DC is still printing, that they have nowhere else to go, that they're all under the Other tab in DCBS because they're orphans, pretty much.
Yeah, that license money is some good money, though.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. Daryl, anything else from CCI you want to bring up?
M. Night Shyamalan and Will Smith, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Let's move on. I guarantee you, this movie is going to get the exact same response that Devil did in the theaters after Last Airbender came out. And it was my favorite response I've ever seen for a trailer in the movies. Like they're watching it like oh this looks interesting. Oh yeah. And my Sean went oh.
And I guarantee that they probably I will never count him out. Neither one of them.
Yeah.
When you think they're not, I mean, we think that way. But when you go out the mainstream, and if it looked good enough, I'll fool myself. I'll go see it.
Yeah, whatever. Go make Unbreakable 2, M. Night Shyamalan. Then we'll
M. Night Shyamalan got somebody's soul or something, man. I don't know how he be making these movies, man. Who giving him this money? Because he's not making that money back. I don't know who. Like, yo, he got something on he has something on somebody so good. It must be like some Chinatown shit, man.
Actually,
look at the ticket sales. He does make that money back.
Wait, no.
He don't make
that
budget back. He made that LA in the Water money back.
I got it, man. I got it. At the end of the movie, Will Smith pulls his face off, and it's Matt Damon underneath. What a twist!
No, it'd be awesome if it was all a dream from when Jazz gets thrown out the house and he hits his head on the field. So, oh, man, that was a crazy dream.
I would be in freaking tears if they just...
Or even better, like Jada Pinkett like walks out of the shower and she's like, baby, what's wrong? Nothing. I had this terrible dream where I was in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's okay, baby. Let's go back to bed.
Ooh, no. Better yet, it's Jada Pinkett with Tupac. And see, I had this dream that I married.
Yeah.
It'd be like all the old rap people would be like, oh my God, it's just fake.
And that's an ant story right there.
only Tupac will have to be played by a hologram again. So I don't know.
It'd be CG hologram Tupac in the shop. Like
who would catch that? Like Jada waking up with Tupac. Like, what?
Oh my God.
You did what? That dude?
Say what?
Too corny. I don't see you with that dude.
Fresh Prince is corny.
I don't see that.
Oh, God. All right, Brent, any other CCI news you want to bring up?
Nope.
Okay. I will bring up two things, okay? Number one, that Penny Arcade's The Lookouts comic is the best-selling comic on Comixology right now. That's pretty damn awesome. As a Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade?
Yeah.
Penny Arcade, they got a comic out on Comixology?
Yep, The Lookouts.
And they begging for money, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway, no, there's. Don't get me started on that shit. I want that to be a completely separate episode because I am actually for it, unlike some people.
Wait, what?
About Penny Arcade's Kickstarter to to run ad lists for a year so that they can actually make shit they want to make as opposed to pleasing the advertisers.
Hey, hey, let's put an ad on the beginning of the show saying that we should get paid for something for providing 2 hours of content every month.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Make sure to use the promo code CT. All right, fine. But yeah, no, that's one way of doing it. And Penny Arcade is choosing to crowdsource their comic and their business for a year so that they don't have to deal with advertisers and they can go and make what the fans want them to make instead of, you know, making Zelda tie-ins and shit like that, which I actually kind of respect, and it's working for them, and that's sort of what Kickstarter is for. And damn it, the conversation has started now, so we're going to have
to let's not do that, because that's a whole different episode, which you can like ask me to be on another time.
Yes, you're more than welcome to join me for that one. Count me out. All right, that's fine. It could just be me and Julian going back and forth. That's all good. We can make a 0.5 out of it maybe sometime next week. The other thing is that everyone else made it out of Comic-Con safe. Okay? Because...
Except for Stallone,
but he wasn't there. So that's...
He was there?
Stallone's kid?
Not his kid, but Stallone was there.
His son died somewhere else.
Yeah, no. Stallone made it out okay. Dude, if Stallone had died at Comic-Con, that would be a fuck bigger news.
I'm just saying, they made it sound like his son died while Stallone was on stage in the panel or something. I was like,
you know,
wow,
that whole Twilight thing with that's some lazy news, right there.
It was lazy news that did actually completely scream of, you know, it's Tuesday and we have nothing else to run, so we're going to run this. Because I mean, yes, the true story is that she was running against the light and she tripped and she fell and she wound up dead, which is a shame.
She jaywalked.
No, and that's it. And don't worry, Darryl. I'll let you talk. I just want to get this out first. Right. That it's not just that. It's that the whole lining up a week before the event is going to start, that shit's got to stop. Because if you're not completely set up with your setup, you know, if you're still putting up tents and you're still putting up kiosks and you're still getting shit ready and you've told people do not under any circumstance line up for this event until we are ready, which would be either the Wednesday, because that would be preview night, then you can start lining up, and you go ahead and do it anyway and you break rules and then someone winds up dead because of that, that's not cool. You don't do that shit. Okay, stay within the rules of a convention. Listen to people, especially when they have your safety in mind. Okay, because otherwise you're just being stupid.
Where was the police?
The whole lining up for shit days ahead of time for a panel is dumb. They should just make it day of.
Yeah.
Where was the police?
Go get your ticket into the panel in the morning, like they do toys. You know, go get your ticket for the panel in the morning for however many panels you can get at that time.
Yeah.
You know, or stagger the tickets for the panel, and then go and enjoy the show floor, and then go to the panel.
Yeah. But to answer you on that, Julian, they had con security, or at least the security for the convention center around, but they can't be everywhere at once, man.
But we've both been to Comic-Con.
Yes,
they line up outside.
Yes, they
do. That's not has nothing to do with the security. Like once you're outside of the building, yo, where the fuck is the police?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Is that police presence? Well, it's just that. You also know that, for the most part, police presence doesn't really show up until at least the Wednesday.
Yeah, that's true. They don't be doing nothing. They too soft out there.
Yeah.
Well, they don't get paid.
But the thing was...
Yeah. Those cops get paid to do... They get paid extra to do those, you know, public events like Comic-Con and conventions and school games.
Yankee Stadium. Whenever cops do Yankee Stadium, they actually get overtime whenever they do it.
But they don't want them there. Like, listen, Comic-Con is about getting as many people there as possible to promote it, to buy stuff there, to get tickets. It's supposed to be a spectacle. Like, they are successful off of how much of a spectacle they are. So they want you to line up 5-6 days before so they can have the news come there and interview you and talk to you. Like, her dying was just because... She did something that I see people do every day. When I'm driving, every day people jaywalk. And it's not a con. It's just that we're just lazy and we're always in a hurry. We don't want to wait for the light. We just want to run.
That's not – and the other thing too, that street is not a street you jaywalk. I'm sorry. But they got the tram running right through there. That's just dumb.
But people do stuff like that all the time.
I don't feel sorry for her. I'm sorry. Looking at that street, I would not go, that's something I want to jaywalk across or get stuck on with the trolley line.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hold on.
I don't feel sorry for this woman.
This arguing. Well, hold on, Daryl. I mean, come on. You live in New York, also.
Yeah.
People jaywalk Queens Boulevard all the freaking time, and they wind up
old
dead.
Old people want. They had to put lights. They had to put special lights there because old people kept getting killed.
Yep.
Because even though you tell them, do not cross here,
they do it anyway.
And these are people with was supposed to have wisdom. They're grown. They're not children.
Yeah.
They still run the street.
And this was a 55-year-old woman from New York.
She just happened to be a Twilight fan, so they were able to throw that in the title. Because most people looked at it like most people jumped on it because they wanted to make fun of it. That was why they did it. They did it so people would jump on it to make fun of it.
Right.
And they would talk about it, and they would throw the little things about, Twilight killed someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and just to make jokes about her death. That's all that was for.
And that's not anything you should ever do about a frickin' death. You know, yes, she's a frickin' fan of something, but she could have very easily been, you know, a fan of Iron Man that was lining up earlier, or a fan of something else. It's that there needs to be more police presence there. And just like what Brent says, you know, go do something else until it's time for your goddamn panel. That's it.
It would be funny. It was funny until, like, if it wound up being a Watchmen fan, or they did it as a Captain America fan, or whatever. It was funny to some of us because Twilight is funny to us. But to the mainstream, all of us are funny to them. Like, it's all jokes. It just so happened that's what it was in particular. But we're such a small genre.
But they still go see our movies. I don't know if we're that funny anymore.
They still go see our movies because they're entertaining to more than just us. But we're the ones who complain about the little stuff that they don't even think of. Like, they don't care about what the cape looks like, or if someone's father died and didn't die, or that stuff that doesn't matter to them. All they care about is, when I go in to see this movie, does it entertain me? And then I'm out. And then I don't care about the comic book. I don't care about anything else. Just let me see that movie, move on with my life, and then I'll see a sequel if I like the first one. That's it. That's all they care about.
Yeah. And that's really all they should care about.
That's all.
All right. Let's transition here. Let's get away from the deaths and all that shit. Talk a little bit about Amazing Spider-Man. It's been out for a few weeks now. I've seen it twice.
Damn.
Yep. I saw it. I saw it on opening night, and then I saw it again later that weekend with friends of mine who hadn't seen it yet. And I actually, for the most part, enjoyed it. I did have some problems with it here and there, but that for the most part, it's a better movie than the first one was for me. The first Raimi movie was for me.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the most part, that's what I would say. That's my opinion. We'll get summaries, and then we can get into our arguing like we always do on this show afterwards. So, Brent, what'd you think?
I thought it was okay. I thought they could have skipped the whole origin and just picked up with him in high school as Spider-Man. I'm sorry, the first hour of the film bored me to death.
Yeah?
I mean,
just because you'd seen it before?
Not because, okay, this I liked the characters. I liked Gwen Stacy or Emma Stone. I liked Andrew Garfield. I liked them better as who they had cast. I like Garfield as a better Spider-Man. But I guess my biggest thing was they spent so much time getting to the origin and making it all, you know, wrapped around this conspiracy and all this other stuff, when really all we needed was a spider to bite him, hit him, and discover his powers and go on. I think, and they completely glossed over the, you know, the web shooters in costume, and they did a little fan service by like, oh, it blows up in his face. But how the fuck does he order that from a site? For he orders his web shooters from a website. I didn't get that.
Did he order them from a website, or did he get them from?
He ordered Oscorp web lines. That's what it was.
He got it. He somehow got the web fluid from Oscorp.
I don't know how you get military grade stuff offline.
I just assumed he got it from Connors.
No, he looked it up on the internet and ordered it. Sometimes.
Well, no, I saw him looking it up on the internet. I just figured he looked it up on the internet and then got it from Connors.
But I don't think they ever said that it was a military thing. He just ordered material.
I'm assuming Oscorp is a defense contractor for the government. Right. You can't just order Lockheed Martin stuff from the internet and get it in your person.
Right. And Daryl, we did actually see the material being worked on, like in the first time we see inside of the Oscorp lab.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see that in the background as we're like roaming through the lab. We see something that looks a lot like what eventually becomes his webbing being worked on.
Well, if the spiders make it, they harvest it from the spiders.
Right.
The things that bite them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's.
But it's not a weapon. Like, it's not a something that's weaponized. It's just fibers, strong fibers that you can use to.
Even still, there's some type of building materials you just can't order it off the internet.
No, you can't. But this is not here. This is not this world. This is.
Oh my god!
All right. We're getting hung up on this.
My general.
Go.
I'm sorry, I got hung up on that. That was not even a really thing I was upset about. Just mainly. Like, this whole time, I did not believe that it needed to be remade. I think they could have thrown it in. And I still didn't, even though the more I saw ahead of time, I got more excited about the film. But in the end, that backfired on me because we saw the one good joke Spider-Man had, and it totally fell flat for me in the film. Small knives, and they said it in every trailer and stuff like that. And it's like the best part about the movie was ruined in the trailers. And that's my fault for watching everything, but I still think that they could have thrown in a little bit more. I don't know. It just, to me, it felt like we didn't read the total reboot. They could have done a soft one via, like, Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton and had the same effect, and we could have gotten more Spider-Man.
I could agree with that.
I could have done without the total origin redone and just had an opening credits montage. Boom, here's Spider-Man in high school. Go and enjoyed more of the characters and more of him being Spider-Man than spend an hour with, you know, an updated Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, who I liked, but I felt like it was slow because we had seen it 8 years before.
I'll get to that and what I feel about that in a minute. But what did you like?
What did I like?
Yeah, what did you like?
I liked the costume. I liked the actors playing everybody. I just didn't like the plot.
Okay, so you felt that they were strong performances. It just wasn't nearly as good a movie as you were hoping plot wise. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something that I can actually somewhat agree with, because it did suffer from first movie syndrome a little bit for me. But then again, the first Raimi movie also did. So that's something that I'll get into.
But
a little bit.
The first movie I think was stronger though, and we can get into it later. But
that's fine. Yeah.
I still hold that as a special place in my heart. Like, there's this thing floating around 2 weeks ago or whatever. It was like, it's on YouTube, like Google or YouTube, Raimi Spider-Man trilogy in 7 minutes. And it's like a highlight reel of all the cool stuff in the Raimi movies. And I'm like, you know what? Those weren't bad films. Maybe the third one had some problems, but the first and second one pretty much universally loved, and then everybody forgot about it when the third one came out and was crap.
Well, okay, no, the first one was not universally loved. It was...
Second one wasn't either.
In my circle of friends, it was in high school. Everybody liked that one.
I liked it, but it actually took me a second watching to actually truly like it. Like, when I saw it in the theaters for the first time, I was really cold on it. Like,
hey, oh, what? Hey. Spider-Man 2?
No. No, the first one. The first Raimi film. The first Spider-Man. Not, Spider-Man 2 I universally loved. That I straight up enjoyed. But the first Raimi one, when I saw it for the first time in theaters, was not my thing. I liked it a lot more when I sat down and watched it on DVD at my own home. It just maybe the atmosphere was different. Maybe I was different by that point, but I liked it a lot better on second viewing than I did on the first viewing. But Daryl, let's get your take. What'd you think?
I enjoyed this movie more than, and I've watched the whole Raimi trilogies I don't know how many times. I enjoyed this movie more than I enjoyed all those three.
Wow.
All three. Two included. Wow.
What was it about it?
Peter Parker, this version of Peter Parker was more in line with what I've read since I was a child. Like, from the Dick Go stuff up, he fits. This Peter Parker fits more. He had more... I can understand why, you know, some of the things that the emotions that he went through, he didn't seem so wooden. Like, he was giving more meat to why he became Spider-Man, to all those, you know, the anger that he felt when he lost his, you know, his uncle, to not having his parents, like all that stuff that I kind of didn't, you know, the kind of stuff that I read that I wanted to see in the movie, I got to see when they wrote Peter Parker in this movie.
Yeah. No, I agree with you for the most part on that. I feel like the Peter we got in this movie was it wasn't like the bumbling Peter we got in the Raimi ones. Like,
no.
he was awkward, but awkward in the way that I associate Peter to be, meaning like he could very easily be cool and outgoing if he was just given the chance to be.
If he didn't have to worry about the fear of,
right.
of people knowing who he was, like that I saw. Like, even his dialogue when he had the mask on and the change that he made, every joke wasn't funny, but I mean, even when he did the back and forth with the lizard and with the other criminals that he was fighting when he had the mask on,
mm-hmm.
and it changed because they made sure that every time he talked, like, they kind of showed how he might not have been the nerd with the pocket protector, but he was the nerd in terms of feeling isolated from all the people, his peer group.
I thought he was the nerd with the pocket protector in the Ditko books, though.
He was. He was.
In the Ditko books,
he was a giant.
Yeah, but I don't want to constantly see, like, this is a new nerd. Nerds don't look like that much anymore.
I wouldn't call them nerds then.
Then what are they?
Why wouldn't you call them nerds?
I don't think they're nerds. Like, Mark Zuckerberg is a nerd. Sorry, he acts like a nerd. He looks like a nerd. To me, that Peter Parker wasn't a nerd. He was a loner. There's a difference.
But Zuckerberg was still not. He still wasn't that same pocket protector nerd. Like, this, he was smart. He didn't get along with people because of, you know, he just had that social ineptness that you know, kept him apart from people. But he still had a girlfriend before he had money.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to still date pretty women.
I think he also had. I think he had a nerdy girlfriend. She's pretty, but
the thing is, that's
a doctor.
That's different.
And also, it was college. It was also college. We're talking about a college. I'm just saying. I've met a lot of nerds. There's still classic nerds out there.
They are still, but there's new nerds. They're like the nerds. They're not nerds.
I don't think they're nerds.
They're hipsters.
Don't.
Well, I don't
looking like nerds. It's confusing everybody.
And you know what? No one knows what a hipster is anymore. So that's not even a thing. Like just like emo was a thing 5, 6, 7 years ago. Hipster is like almost impossible to classify now because if you walk around with thick rimmed glasses, all of a sudden you're a hipster.
Right.
Like, what?
Like if you're smart,
used to be you're a nerd. Now you're a hipster. Now you're cool.
Like, what do you have to do? You have to stumble around to be a nerd? Is that a nerd?
Yeah. And whatever. I mean, like, there's geeks and there's nerds and all these freaking terms you can throw around forever.
And it's so silly to me.
Peter Parker was a little awkward. That's it.
Awkward.
Right. And you know what? I'm perfectly okay with that because I didn't grow up with Ditko Spidey. You know, I didn't grow up with Ditko Spidey. I'll get to me, though, because I want Julian to get his venom out before I talk about what I enjoyed. So please spew your venom, and I'm not talking Eddie Brock.
Nah, I don't know. I hated the movie. I know you did. I only didn't get up from the movie because I was with friends and I spent $18 on that shit.
You paid for a movie?
Yeah, what? My friends was like, "Yo, please, like, yo, go see this movie with us on 4th of July." I'm like, I'm not doing nothing else. I'll do this. And every time I do this, I get smacked in the face.
Wow.
My reality's like, that's why you don't spend money on movies, son.
What is you
thinking? See garbage.
Yes,
you spend money on garbage, and then I see fantastic movies for free. That movie was, I didn't like the whole thing. It didn't feel like any Spider-Man I knew. I didn't feel like Peter Parker to me. He's like some cool skateboarding kid that kind of had his little issues when his uncle died. And somehow he made this dope-ass outfit, and he fought the Abomination. And it was just poorly paced.
The Abomination.
He looks like the Abomination without the spikes.
He does. I'll give you that. I wasn't exactly thrilled about the lizard design, but that's one of the things I'll say negative to later.
And I guess before people call me, it's like, I'm nitpicking. It's like, no, this is on a completely artistic level. I think that was a lazy design. They could have done that better. He could have kind of actually looked like a lizard. He kind of looks like a green thing, kind of has a tail. And I don't really know. I never understood his motivations. He went from, like, he stuck himself to go get the dude on the bridge, and now he somehow wants to make everyone better. I don't know how make everybody a lizard equals this great Nietzschean idea of a super people. Like, it just came out of nowhere, and he goes up to the top of the building like King Kong, and they fight. It was just it was just terrible to me. It was just horrible. Yeah, I'd rather go watch Willem Dafoe just as a Power Ranger.
Oof.
For me, that worked.
Yes.
Why? Because the Green Goblin is fucking insane. He is crazy. His costume's supposed to look bootleg. He always looked at bootleg. That's his charm. And I have a feeling now we're going to get some ugly-ass monster Ultimate Spider-Man Green Goblin bullshit.
I don't know about that. They're pulling from a bunch of different Spideys to make these movies.
Yeah, that whole thing felt like Ultimate Spider-Man. I didn't enjoy those first 7 issues because I felt it took too long. And that movie was too long. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes.
All right, I will agree with you.
It was a long movie.
It was long, yes. Because the first time that I saw it, we thought it was over 3 times. Like, when they had that last scene, I really expected it to end after the view of the wall with the Spider-Man symbol, and then we had one more scene after that, which kind of surprised me. I mean, Daryl, give me that much, at least, right? Like,
I thought it was over at the funeral.
Well, yeah.
No, and again, this is coming from a guy who liked the movie. I'm just saying they could have paced that a little bit better. So that we didn't there were movie cues, you know, like the way that I'll put it, the last Lord of the Rings movie, okay, how that one had 3 endings. By that I mean it ended, you thought you were done, you're about to get up to go take your pee after sitting there for 3.5
Jackson
hours.
Jackson totally admits that.
Yeah. And. And
he doesn't take that as a criticism. He says, "You're absolutely right.
I got 3 endings and an Oscar, bitch."
He totally admits that. Yeah. He owned it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, at least he owned it.
Just like I'm sure that Mark Webb, and my God, his name is Mark Webb, and he directed a Spider-Man movie. I mean, for fuck's sake, man. But I'm sure that someday he might say the exact same thing about this one. But Now that Julian said what he had to say, let me say why I liked it, okay? Number one being, yeah, it was a little modern. Times change, okay? And with times changing, Peter Parker is bound to change, okay? Because he's supposed to be, in this movie continuity, a teenager as of today. You know that because when his parents are rushing to get out of the house, you see Everybody Loves Raymond on the fucking TV, which made me feel really goddamn old.
Yeah.
But I digress.
You are old.
Thank you. You are old as well.
Compared to the 16-year-old. I know. 10 years older than those fucks.
I know. That things that I consider to be not that old are old now. But if Peter Parker is supposed to be a teenager today, that's the sort of nerdy, geeky sort of thing that you would get from a teenager. He's socially awkward. He doesn't have a lot of friends. In fact, he doesn't even seem to have really any friends in the school. But, you know, he likes to skateboard occasionally. That's his thing. It doesn't make him a cool skater kid, okay? Just because he has a skateboard, it doesn't make him a cool skater kid because he didn't have any friends, okay? There's plenty of skateboard kids that don't have friends. Doesn't make you cool. Okay, that's number one. Okay, I actually really like the portrayal of Aunt May and Uncle Ben in this movie. Okay, because when you have the President of the United States playing Uncle Ben, you're gonna get a good performance, and you did. I liked his humor. I cracked up hysterically at the line about him being a you know, his parole officer. There we go. Yeah, his parole officer. That was pretty awesome. And Aunt May didn't come off as frail and I'm going to break if you push me the wrong way, you know, right. which was pretty great. Gwen Stacy was portrayed great, and I actually prefer starting off with Gwen Stacy to starting off with Mary Jane, because you get to Mary Jane eventually. Because we know that something tragic is going to eventually happen to Gwen Stacy, and the character of Peter Parker needs that in his life. He doesn't get that in the Raimi movies for the most part. He gets Ben, but not much else, really. I mean, you could say, oh, he gets Green Goblin dies and Doc Ock dies, but that's an easy way out in movies, okay? When the villain dies, that's the easy way out, and I feel that the Raimi movies did that way too often. They took the easy way out of not having a return villain or not having a villain in jail. They would just die, which means that they don't actually get to suffer any consequences after that. Mm-hmm. That's it. Their story's over way before it should be. With this, I like that we don't see Osborn. That means that we can set him up into later movies. I actually enjoyed the suit a lot because he does research. He gets pissed off that everything's spandex, and then he screen prints a costume. It's a hell of a lot more realistic than somehow magically.
You can't still screen that,
Julian.
Outfit,
I'm talking.
Son.
I'm talking. All right, give me a minute. Okay, he as a guy who is into photography and everything like that, it's actually very believable that he would be able to screen print. Okay. Because he could get that equipment from somewhere else. Whatever. They don't say it in the movie. They don't have to. Okay? All we know is that he gets one of those speed suits, and he screen prints a pattern onto it, and bam, it's a hell of a lot better than magically sewing a costume with piping on it like they did in the Raimi movies. Okay?
That expands.
Oh. Okay, if you say so. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, how the fuck did he get a costume like that in the Raimi movies,
man? How the fuck can this dude make that costume the way it looks like that? How the hell he make them fucking costume boots? The shit doesn't make sense.
The same way the costume designer did. It's not difficult.
Yeah, the costume designer.
You look that shit up.
Yeah, a person cannot make that in their bedroom.
Okay.
Yes, they can. It's called Photoshop and a screen printing machine.
Look at cosplay people. Oh, my God.
It doesn't even look
like
a screen print.
Have you seen some of the cosplay people? They do fan-fucking-tastic jobs, and they're not professional costume designers. They get that shit. They
don't
look at it. They figure it out.
Yes, they do.
They don't look like that.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do.
And someone make a gear to make it.
Julian, my man, I am disagreeing with you because I have seen some damn good costumes at cons.
It takes him a long time. He made that shit in a weekend.
How do we know?
We know that, though.
He was running around.
As he went out. Like, he gradually changed up as he went on patrol.
There's not much time that goes out in that movie.
Yes, there is, actually.
I know that.
There is actually a decent amount of time that passes by.
Just because it's in a montage doesn't mean it happens over a weekend.
That montage happened over at least a month.
I'm sure he didn't have time to patrol every single night, and he's trying to get his homework done.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my gosh. Live and let live a little.
Oh, he's back at school. I mean, how do we know how much time passed between that? When he came back to school, we don't know how much time passed between him coming back to school, looking for that guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and let me also add, best on-screen portrayal of Flash Thompson ever.
Yes.
Okay, because he didn't get shit to do in the Raimi movies. He was
better than the True Blood guy.
He was written like those movie versions of bullies are always written, like the lazy way they're written, where they beat up kids. You never know why. All they do is beat up kids. Like, they're assholes throughout the entire movie, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy, like, Flash Thompson was a bully. But then eventually you learn his father was a bully.
Right.
He abused him, and that's why. But when he lost his uncle, Flash looked at him and he said, I understand.
Yeah.
That was more realistic than what we got in the other three movies. Yeah.
I was bullied as a kid. I mean, because I was the nerdy kid, all the way through my and I'm talking like specifically here, the example that I'll give is in my camp, you know. Yeah. There were a shitload of people that would pick on me, and that's what we would get out of Flash. Flash is he picks on people,
mm-hmm.
but eventually they got to a point where they outgrew that shit.
Yeah.
And there would be times where if I was down, even if these are people that were bullying on me, if I was in a corner and I looked like I was about to cry, they would come up to me and say, "What's the matter?" And they would want to go fuck up the person that made me do this. Okay? That's the sort of personality that a bunch of people have in life. I'm not saying that it's a good way to go, but eventually they hit a point where they're going to be sympathetic no matter what type of person that they are. And that's,
you can be assholes in school, yes, like in high school, and not be at, like, people that tried to bully me that I had fights with. We wound up being friends after the fight.
Yeah.
I bet Daryl was the asshole in high school.
I kicked your ass if you started with it. But that's just how it went. Like, and I liked the progression with that. I liked how he was awkward with women, but the thing that made Gwen like him was when he showed his intelligence.
Yes.
That's when it clicked for her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something where they just made it where I kind of like him, I guess, because my boyfriend is such an asshole that I guess he'll do. It's not that type of bad story. No, it's
real. You talking about Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this love interest, she's like, wow, I'm smart. I don't want a jock. I actually, like, when Peter was confident when he talked about what he knew.
Yeah.
And that was when she was like, wow, I'm kind of digging on him a little bit.
And I love that Gwen Stacy was actually intelligent in this movie. You know, that she wasn't just, like, the ditz or anything like that.
Right.
You know, the girl falling off a bridge from the building that's falling over?
Yes. Yes.
Getting stuck on the crane that Spider-Man later hangs off of in the next movie.
Okay. So goddamn.
Well, she was the cute overachiever female, which I knew plenty of them in high school, too. Uh-huh. They were smart. They weren't all unlikable. They don't all act the same.
Yeah.
There are some that were always valedictorians. They were cute. They were nice to people.
Yep.
You know, but they just always were about school. They were always about school. And they were just cool chicks to be around. Yeah. And you had that. She portrayed that, and it worked, that she would be nice to Peter, and then eventually she would grow to like him.
Right. Yeah. And what I also love is that, like, by the end of the movie, Flash is exactly how he is in the comics. You know, he's a Spider-Man groupie. which is totally how Flash was portrayed for most of his high school years and even past that. You know, he was a huge fan of Spider-Man, not knowing that Peter Parker is standing right next to him and he happens to be Spider-Man. That's great. Julian, you gotta at least give me the portrayal on Flash Thompson here, man. Come on. At least give me that.
It was okay. It was okay.
Alright.
I can't believe you didn't like the actors better. You really like the Raimi actors better?
Yeah, I kinda did, yeah. Okay. I like the chemistry between Garfield and Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly they had an attraction for each other since they're together now. You can't fake chemistry. Like, it's there. No. So that worked, but... Like, no, like...
No kissing.
It was hard to beat the nipple spider upside down kiss.
Hard
to beat that scene.
Yeah.
Hard nipples in the rain, upside down kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to beat that.
Oh, also, no matter what he does, Dennis Leary cannot sound anything but Boston. Like,
yeah.
Like, I love him as an actor. I actually really liked him in this movie, but that was not even close to a New York accent.
What took me out of it?
No,
probably not. No, because Dennis Leary has one mode. But what were you going to say, Brent?
What took me out of it is I went to go see it with my wife and my dad. Uh-huh. And my dad sitting next to me, and Dennis Leary pops up and he goes, "Dennis Leary, I love that guy."
Like, he's a cop. He just sounds like a cop or a fireman. Like,
and he works. Like, he can tell he is cops. He is firemen. He loves it. You can tell he's friends with them. He interacts with people like that. So he's comfortable with that.
I couldn't help but say, though, that and whatever, people know that there's going to be spoilers in this episode. When he died, I couldn't help but whisper to Chris, "Finally, Tommy Gavin is dead."
Yeah, Tommy never dies.
But you know, he did a good job, and he did the role of Captain Stacy. And another thing that I appreciated about the movie is that, you know, just because Captain Stacy says, you know, "Don't go near my daughter, you know, that's my last wish, yada yada yada."
Uh-huh.
He's a teenager.
Use protection.
Yeah.
because don't bang my daughter.
If you wrap it before you bag it.
If you don't,
want Spider-Man rain to happen to her.
If you don't, yeah, I was just gonna say, if you don't, you'll give her cancer with your radioactive spider splooge. Oh, we're bringing it back here on Comic Time. We haven't talked about that shit in a while.
But I thought we got rid of F.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what I like? The original Spider-Man, if you read the original stuff, the character was made like he was a rebel. He was turned in, like, when they originally did it, when Stan Lee and them were doing that, you know, they had that whole thing with, you know, anti-war demonstrations and all that. Spider-Man was anti, you know, authority. Adults hated Spider-Man. Kids love Spider-Man.
Right.
That was how it was. And you kind of got that in this movie also. Like, the dialogue between Stacy and Peter, where Peter was like, well, you know, I think Spider-Man is just trying to help. And you just have the young, you know, dealing with the old heads, as they call them. You know, like, they just had that conflict. And Peter didn't have all the answers. And that I like that too. He didn't have all the answers. It was stuff he got wrong.
Right.
Like, this is a Peter Parker that's learning. I don't want him to be super duper. Even when he fought those criminals, he didn't know how to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had super strength and still didn't know how to fight.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, come on. Because he didn't just magically learn martial arts overnight. I mean, that would have been stupid.
Right. And what I loved also is from the original Spider-Man that I used to read, he would fuck up in the beginning trying to fight a criminal, and he would have to come up with a device or something. He would have to build something on his own with no money and come up with a way to defeat the guy at the end. Like, that was how he was always written in the beginning, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was what I was used to reading.
For me, it felt nothing like those old Spider-Man comics at all.
What was it that didn't feel that way?
He didn't show up any, like, need of responsibility. I like the things about him going to go get a job, like him actually taking care of his aunt. Like, none of that was in there. A lot of things I was related to with Spider-Man wasn't in the movie. He kind of just acted like a spoiled brat for most of the movie.
He got the eggs.
Yeah, at the end of the movie. Good on him. Yeah, he got the eggs in.
That's his fault for wanting the guy.
Well, you know, in real life, if you know, like, it's funny because I always thought Uncle Ben, as responsible as Uncle Ben was, he would always make sure that he had a good life insurance policy.
Right, because, I mean, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right. I can't see Uncle Ben talking, you know, being that responsible, always drilling in that you take care of your family, you always be responsible, and he die and not have an insurance.
Yes.
Like, so there's no reason for them to be broke.
Right.
He was a veteran. Wait, he was a veteran.
Well, you acting like these systems actually supposed to work.
I know from experience they work.
Yeah, okay.
White people problems, my friend.
Both my uncles are veterans, and they're black. Both my uncles died. They had insurance. They left with insurance.
You got to buy insurance before it pays out. That's all.
Yeah.
You can buy insurance that'll stop people getting their money first. That means you got to pay to bury somebody. That shit ain't cheap.
Yeah. I buried a lot of people.
Yep.
It ain't cheap
at all.
Well, you know,
it
you just take
that money.
You just take the body and you float it down the East River. There you go. That's it. Burial at sea. Bam. Problem solved.
That only works in New York.
Ah, man.
Homeowner, veteran. I'm sorry, I don't see you being on your last leg all the time. They didn't look like they were broke.
And let me go into some of the things I didn't like, and I'll also explain Connors a little bit. What's up?
Juan de Jesus. All he has to say is this: testicles. I don't quite remember what that's from, but he said to say it on air.
Holy shit, man! Where'd you get Juan? What did he do?
He was on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he just said to you testicles.
He just says if you're recording right now, testicles.
Ah, Juan.
Nice
memories. Well, okay. So here's first off, let me explain Kirk Connors real quick. Then I'll get into the stuff that I didn't like. Okay, so Kirk Connors, he's always felt incomplete. Okay, we don't know how he lost the arm in the movie, whatever, we don't have to. All we know is that he's a man who's constantly been trying to fix himself. He's a man who regularly wanted to improve himself in one way or another. Okay? So that's what we get in the movie. When he takes the serum, he's not taking the serum to rush off and stop the guy on the bridge or whatever. He's taking the serum because he doesn't have any options left. He's taking the serum because they're going to take away his research. Without taking it now, it's very possible he would never get his limb back. So he takes it, and it goes wrong. And when it does, that serum, partially because of the lizard DNA and partially because of his own personality, really like brings out the dark side in him, and like he decides that because he's been imperfect, that the human race is imperfect, and the only way to solve that is, hey, I got my arm back this way, and I can heal whenever I want this way, so everybody else should be the way I am. That's what I got out of it. That's what I got out of his plot, is that he was a man who was trying to, I guess, achieve perfection in one way or another because he's never had that in life. That's what I got out of Kirk Connors. Now, the negatives, number one, he looked like an overgrown Ninja Turtle. So that was definitely a negative. I didn't really like the lizard look much in the movie. The mouth was stupid. I felt like they could have at least given him an elongated mouth. I mean, yeah, they threw in the one scene where he's coming up from the sewers and he has his lab coat and he looks a little bit like he does in the comics, but it's still not really that great of a look. That could have been a little better. Number two, there were some cheesy moments here and there, but that's to be expected. I felt that at least the scene with the kid in the car paid off a little bit, because I thought they were just throwing that in there to be all, oh, I'm saving the day. And you know, here, put on my mask. You'll be strong and make all the kids that are watching this movie feel like that they could be Spider-Man too. But that at least paid off in one way or another, which was good because of the crane scene later on. Now, at least the crane scene is better than a fucking non-existent subway in the middle of Manhattan and all that shit from Spider-Man 2. At least it was better than that.
Like was said before, this ain't so. Our world.
Yeah.
if you say so.
You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Dialogue, get out of here with that.
That was the only part of Spider-Man 2.
Sea of people, and then that sea of people that carried him with the fucking mask off, that was shit.
Dude,
come on. If that's not cheesy nonsense, I don't know what is.
It was the only part of Spider-Man 2 that I didn't like.
Oh, it was not. It only was part. Bullshit.
And the thing that this movie gets off, because if I don't say this before this episode is over, then there's no God. The special effects, specifically the swinging effects in this movie, were 147% better than they were in the Raimi movies.
Oh,
it better be as 10 years later.
That's not the point, Julian. The difference is that there were no CGI legs or anything. They got actual stuntmen to perform this. It was not computer generated. That is the difference, okay?
And it was New York.
Yes.
Like, Spider-Man, there is no such thing as buildings.
They say all those scenes are with real people.
What? Yes. No. They are, actually.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. I gotta see that shit
At least three quarters, if not all of them, were done with actual professionals swinging and mapping. That's what that shit was. That's what that shit was.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Okay. I mean, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. They at least fooled me into thinking that shit was
real. I can see they mo-capped it.
Yeah.
But them shits was still fucking CG fucking Spider-Man. You can see the textures.
I don't know if it's either way. I'm saying I like the fact that there's no such thing as unlimited places that he can spin the web from.
Yes.
Like, there was... In this movie, he actually had to use the city to get around. Like, he had to jump from one building, and he did the webs. Then he would have to jump on a car or a bus, and then he would have to jump on the train tracks. Mm-hmm. And he would have to use different things to get around. And when he hurt his leg, it was hard as hell to get around.
Yeah,
like that. I like those little things, the detail that they added to it. If Spider-Man had to you know, swing around in New York City. Because it doesn't work that way. You just don't have things you can stick to all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, webs that you could just, you know, web all over the place.
Yeah. And if it turns out I'm wrong, by the way, about the special effects, I mean, then that is the difference between motion capture and just making CGI all over the place. Because motion capture makes a hell of a lot of a difference.
Right? Yeah, it's just that mocap is better.
Yeah.
Now than it was in 2001 when it was making the last one.
Mocap, the first one. Mocap was pretty damn good them too. And they just chose not to do it.
It was all right, but it's way better now. Yeah. You have to admit, they made Avatar. Like, it's way better now.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, no. I'm not denying that it's better. I'm just saying that, in general, that's what made me feel like this movie was more real, was that. Now, Daryl, when you talk about New York, there were some things, and don't worry, we're wrapping up, Julian. I just got to make a few more points here. You talk about how this was a real New York. There were some things that threw me out of that. Number one being, since when is there a fucking BD stop 6th Avenue, 36th Street?
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too. I laughed out loud when I saw it.
Yeah, like sometimes like obvious sets are obvious. You know what I mean? And like and that Q train that he was on was going to Ditmars Boulevard. Say what?
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah, you know they obviously just got whatever old train that they could get to pull this shit off. You know, whatever train was lent to Hollywood to do it. Part of it was filmed in New York. Part of it was filmed on sound stages in L.A. That's why some things look better than others. Like when he's going towards Canal Street, that looked nothing like Canal Street. So. Some things win, some things don't when it comes to the perfection.
With budget and whatnot, but I'm saying the physics of how Spider-Man gets from place to place.
Yes.
They count, they did more than not. It was more like how New York is.
That I give you. That I definitely give you. Although, like Brent Cassina said, you know, multiple times in this part of the episode, it's another world. You know, you shouldn't. You know, maybe there is a 36th and 6th Avenue stop in this world.
You can buy weapons off the online.
I didn't say that. I said you shouldn't be able to buy military hardware or anything.
I know, dude.
Daryl said, "Hey, this ain't our world." So I just threw it back at him when I could. Yeah.
I'm gonna buy Pulse of Rays too. I can do that.
Oh, and one more thing, best Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, definitely.
Freaking love that shit. Although Hef is pretty high up there.
Yeah, I'm just kind of sick of seeing him in movies now.
Yeah.
Well, when he died, actually, and it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I respect what he does. It's like, he did great things. It's just like... He
wasn't in First Class.
Yeah. And I really fucking like First Class.
First Class is a damn good movie. I'm glad that we agree on at least one movie, man.
Yeah, that's a well-crafted piece of cinema right there.
You like the pro-white movie. Go ahead.
Daryl, go to... Daryl,
you like that, huh?
Go to your room. Like that. Go to your room. No.
Fassbender all day.
God.
I bet. I hope they bring up some... I hope they put Bishop in there, too, so they kill another black guy.
You know they're going to bring him back in the next movie.
Yeah. Sure. He is Darwin. He does sort of come back.
He just reform.
Yeah. You did like Avengers though, Julian, right? I mean you're not
it was entertaining.
All right, okay.
It was fun. I'm not treating it like it's like the second coming of the movie Christ or something like I see some people did.
It's not the Holy Grail.
Like it's like, I'm like, I'm good. I still got the Dark Knight, I'm eating, I'm chilling, I'm good.
Well,
like,
we'll be back soon enough with Dark Knight Rises.
I heard critics was tearing up the first viewing. The first 50 people was crying. That was so good.
Nice.
That's the hype right there. That get me hype.
Brent, when you seeing it?
Saturday at noon.
Saturday at noon? Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me know what you think immediately afterwards. Like, we'll talk about it in an episode, but I want to know right away.
I'm gonna be tweeting.
We should schedule that episode sooner than.
Oh no, we will. Don't worry about that. We'll get on it and get a bunch of people on. Maybe get we haven't had Chris Johnson on in a while. Maybe we can get him back. He still podcasts every now and then, but I think that's pretty much it here. Anybody want to give an out of five for this movie, Brent?
Three.
Daryl?
I say 4 out of 5.
I give it a solid, like not quite a four. So I guess it's like maybe like a 3.7 out of 5 for me. And Julian?
1.5.
Whoa, you're being generous. I thought you were going to give it a zero. All right.
Nah. There's some filmmaking in there. There's some good chemistry.
All right.
I can't give it a zero,
I save that for Resident Evil movies.
Which they're making another one of.
Yeah. They're making another one. It's good because I got Resident Evil 6 that can wipe all that away.
Yeah. Did you, Brent, did you hear they're making a Silent Hill like haunted house for Halloween?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget where it's going to be. It might even be in your neck of the woods. It might be at like Universal Orlando or something. Not entirely certain.
Sounds like it should be the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh, and I'll speaking of which, Brent, I'll let you know because I might very well be in Orlando come end of September.
We might very well be in New York in November.
Nice.
Think about
right,
it.
Right on.
For talk anything, about that another time.
Anything in particular?
Second wedding anniversary.
Awesome. Nice.
Thinking about it.
All right. All right, cool. And once again, we're sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. BPRD 1948, number 1 of 5. A new BPRD miniseries, 50% off for $1.75 this month. Legends of the Dark Knight, number 1, is 50% off for $1.99. Wolverine Max begins this month for 50% off at $1.99 as well. And a whole bunch of other savings, like the ones I mentioned before with the third wave of New 52 books are all 50% off. You've got 50 to 75% off on Marvel Now books. You've got Cyberforce number 1 entirely free this month. And a whole bunch more from there. Use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order. DCBService.com. You won't regret it. Daryl, you want to pimp your 842 podcasts?
Just go to taylornetwork.wordpress.com and you can check all the way out the episodes of shows you want to check. And check out DC Noise also.
I'm thrilled that you have that website now because we'd be here another 40 minutes otherwise.
You got too many shows, man.
He's got too much time on his hands.
I'm going to add another 20.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Daryl, let me know sometime soon. I do actually want to finally make it out for a recording with you and JK. Because I've been wanting to do that for a while now. So,
all right, man. Well, let us know what day you're available, and then we'll try to sync it up.
Awesome. Sounds good. Julian, my man. Pimp.
All right. You can check out my webcomic, Ants, ants.julianlionel.com. Updates Tuesdays and Thursdays. I might not be able to update in the morning anymore because I got a new job. So it might be an evening webcomic now. Check me on. Just Google my name. You get all my sites. I got Tumblrs and... I got Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I occasionally put up my own podcast once every like 8 months. I feel it sounds like
comes out even less regular than ours. Damn right.
Exactly. You know, nice. ignorant-blish.com. But I jump on everybody else's podcast. It seems right now, so I make up for it.
Well, we're happy to have you, man. You bring the saltiness.
Straight Morton's sea salt.
And Brent, thank you for editing the episode that I couldn't because I suck.
I probably could do this one too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to do this one. I am actually going to do this one. I promise.
Just edit out all my hate. Just edit out all my hate,
dude. It'll be.
If you gave it to me, I would do it.
Oh. and welcome, Julian Lytle. Well, that's the episode. It's like, so, Julian, what do you think about Spider-Man? Well, I think. Okay, great. Thanks. Oh man! Anything we should know out of you, Brent? Any bloggings or anything that we should expect anytime soon?
Nope.
No. All right. That's fine. That's cool.
I do stuff from time to time on the Comic Timing Facebook site.
Yes, you do.
Which is facebook.com/comictiming. Kind of try and post some cool links or something up there every once in a while. So if you're listening to us, like us, and you can follow our business on Facebook.
I love that you can finally post as yourself. Like it's about damn time.
Yes.
Because it was always so annoying, like Comic Timing replies to Comic Timing, and Comic Timing says the Comic Time... Like, no!
Nice. You still can't do that on the iPad app and stuff like that.
Lovely.
But you can do it from the web.
Yeah. Hey. All right, well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Once again, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. And if you want to check out any of my random, interesting things I find on a semi-daily basis, you can check that out at bestthingihaveReadAllDay.com. That's bestthingihaveReadAllDay.com. And we're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Once again, Julian, thanks for joining us, my man. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks
for having me back on.
No problemo, man. And Daryl, always welcome, buddy.
Thank you, thank you.
All right, and Cassina, stay frosty.
Yeah, 100 degrees down here.
It's going to be 98 here tomorrow, so don't worry about it. And as always, as always, there's always time for salty and comics.
Who's the old man we're waiting on? Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl's joining us later.
Yeah, what's going on?
What up, Julian?
What's up, old man?
Not much, chilling before I hit the sack.
Hit the sack.
Pause.
Hit the sack running, man.
Old man style.
You know, just because Ric Flair is 65 doesn't mean you gotta act 65.
That's when you got the most, that's why he's most powerful right now.
Yeah, him and Hogan.
Nah, Hogan ain't shit old. Hogan ain't shit old.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow, that was fun. Holy shit.
I didn't really get to go in. It's all right. This is the second day I got to hate on Amazing Spider-Man on the show, so it's all right.
What's the other one you hated on him, man?
Somebody called me on a show yesterday. Like, Poop came over to be on a show called We Are Mocha. It's like a local joint.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to be on that joint hating on it there, too. That's my new hustle.
Oh, man.
Bad as... doing so well.
Man, I could hear Brent and Julian go back and back, back and forth, back and forth. I felt like I was on Fox News with all the back and forth arguing going on.
I wanted to strangle somebody for a minute there.
It's okay, man. Breathe. It's all right. It's all good.
Just look at the box office. You'd be all right. Look at the box office.
That's awesome. It does all right. It got three more days.
Mm-hmm. Oh.